Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, David.
I heard that I may have created a monster.
You did.
Living in your house.
You did.
It's good. He needed something to do, man.
Yeah. You gave him some fish and stuff, and it's kind of like the Matchbox car addiction, you know, like
yeah.
It just starts with one.
Yeah. You just get one.
Yeah.
And you're like, eh. Literally, so I took him to Bass Pro, right?
Yeah.
He took his own money, wanted to get lures, all this stuff. I don't know if I've ever seen a kid so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because I asked him, I said, have you ever been in there and looked around? Well, yeah. I said, have you ever like really looked around? Well, no, not really. We go down there, his eyes were like half dollars. He's
yeah.
like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? They literally have like 2,200 square feet of just fishing lures.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what do I do? I was like, well, we're going to look at all of it. We'll like walk around and then we'll start over. Okay. Okay. All right. So there's this one thing, like you go down there and they have their like all their little discount lures in a bin. It's like $2.99, right?
Right.
He's looking at them. He's like, these don't look real good. And this and that. So we go over to where the real crankbaits are and they're like $11.99. He's like, let's go back over and look at those ones that are $2. I was like, dude,
yeah.
I was like, yeah. I was like, you will break the bank here in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm glad though.
And he'll break the bank in like 5 minutes on the bank.
Yeah.
Whenever he takes one of those $12 lures and first cast, wraps it onto a tree branch or something.
I told him, like, we were looking at the expensive one. He was like, well, I think I like this. I was like, what would you do if you threw this in and then, like, broke it off? He's like, I'd be really mad.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe we should go back and look at, you know.
Look at the cheap ones.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
Maybe he's found something he can do for a while. I know he was into skateboarding for a long time and loved that, kind of gave up on that.
Yeah, he's kind of he's like his mama. He's a professional quitter, you know, gets heavy into something and then just decides he's done.
Yeah.
So.
You know, you say that, but he's a kid.
Right, right. Like I don't mind it.
He's trying to find new things that he's interested in, right? So maybe one of them will stick. I don't know. I think it's great getting kids outside.
Going and attacking all the ponds that I used to fish as a kid.
Yeah.
That's been pretty fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Those ponds are a lot smaller than you remember.
I was going to say, they're not smaller. They're just smaller than you remember.
Yeah.
Like, they're the same.
I remember this pond was, like, when I was a kid, this pond was enormous. Yeah. Now it's like, I can cast all the way across this thing.
Yeah, well, don't say anything to him, because he's just, you know, he's just out there having
enormous.
A good time. Yeah, he sent me all these screenshots of, like, ponds around my house.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, what about this one? What about this one? I don't pond fish. I'm like, I was like, you're going to have to ask permission no matter what. Well, do I? Like, yes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to ask.
Well, and so the first one.
I told him all the ones to go to. So.
The first one that he wanted, I told him who owns it, and it's Colonial Gardens. And so I said, do you need to go ask permission? And he's like, well, will you come with me? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That is all you, right?
Yeah, I got to learn, man.
And I didn't tell him this, but I'm like, they're probably more likely to give you permission than me. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know? And so he walked into Colonial Gardens and he asked who he needed to talk to about getting permission to fish in their pond. And they said, they don't have the authority to grant that. Let me find somebody. He found somebody. And the guy says, anytime you want to fish in my pond, you can.
Nice.
And so he caught a couple of fish too.
Nice.
But yeah, he's
growing experience.
Yep. He's having a lot of fun.
Like having to go up there to a stranger as a kid,
like
someone that's quote unquote in charge and powerful.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. You're like, you know, nuts are in a vice.
Yep.
Trying to squeeze out words. That's good. Good for him.
I didn't miss my opportunity as a kid because, you know, since you're young and cute people will give anything, I missed the opportunity. I could have gone up and been like, can I have $85?
Now you're old and greasy.
You go up to people, can I have a brand new fishing rod? Can I have $85? Like, literally, you could have gone around, you could have knocked doors and be like, hey, I need a sled for snowing, but I don't have one.
Yeah. it's totally different when you're older. You don't, like, that. You know, there's that saying, would you rather have $1 million or the knowledge you have now when you were like 15?
Right.
You're like, oh no, the knowledge. Like, do you know what I'd be doing? I mean, I would just like go back in time and just like I'd be worth $50 billion.
Yeah.
Like,
just. I don't know. That's kind of a hard thing, though, because like.
But then your life's different.
Well, it depends if you have all the knowledge right now, because it's like, okay, I don't have to go back, but if I can have this money and I have the knowledge, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to, like.
The older you get, the more difficult it is, too.
Yeah. It's like if you said $1 million today or go back, you know, 5 years with the knowledge you have today.
I'd take the million for five. I'm talking, could you go back to like 21?
Right.
Like I'm going back to 21
years old.
Does that
mean? Yeah, 21 years old, not 21 years ago.
Do you go back with the maturity? Although
it'd be basically the same. Yes.
Because there's a lot of things
you know
where,
everything you know now, and you have the same aptitude you have now.
Because so you can be smart in college, but also you give into peer pressure, and you don't realize that like your friends are stupid.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you get that back, or do you go in and just be mature?
That's
no, you're just mature.
Part.
You're just mature. Dude, at 21, if I could go back and be me.
I'm usually taking the money on most of those weird scenarios.
I'm not taking the money.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Would you rather fight a bear the size of Austin, or would you rather fight an Austin the size of a bear?
An Austin the size of a bear. I know Austin. Bears are trying to kill me. They're like, you know,
I
know
punch
Austin.
You that one time, and you, it took you off guard.
It caught the wind out of me. That's for sure. Full transparency, I asked him to because my ribs were hurting so bad. I was like, dude, you got punch me.
Punch
like,
me.
I'm trying to pop that thing back. That was before I ended up going to the chiropractor and having all that work done.
Yeah,
it worked. After I caught my air and everything, the next day I was.
Yeah.
It felt better.
That's yep.
But yeah, he punched. He hits pretty hard. But yeah, I'm not. I don't want to
well,
fight a bear.
People have that. Do they have that? Like they don't look strong. That psycho strength just randomly. Why are you that strong?
Sometimes
you get hit, and it's like
this conversation is taking a weird turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a funny story about that, but I don't know if it's appropriate. On
okay,
the show.
Save Probably it for another
not.
Time. We know it's
if it's appropriate for this show.
If Austin thinks it's inappropriate, it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate.
So no, I will tell my friend.
Oh, so he
had,
just studied. Oh, I'm just gonna let it out. There we go. Okay.
My friend had an autistic brother, and apparently,
here we go.
People with autism have crazy strength.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
we were playing around with him, and he was taking my friend and us and just launching us across the room.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, like, just whatever
you know,
it is.
You know
autism.
The non-PC term for that, right?
On the spectrum.
No. Non-PC term.
Non-PC, yeah.
Are you going to get us in trouble?
They call that retard strength.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not. We're not getting in trouble for that.
We were just so, like, we had a kick out of it. Like,
they
really,
didn't know.
It was actually in the lobby of a sanctuary of a church, and my friend was laughing, and he was just thrown.
Dude,
like,
I'm telling you. Do you remember Rick Whiting I used to work with for a while? Mm. He cut metal. At Air Design. I think you were actually working at the bike shop at this time.
Yeah.
Anyways, he married a gal and she had a son with Down syndrome. Dude, that kid was like 10 years old and strong as an ox.
Yeah.
Like he was a beast, man.
There's a guy, I don't work out at
like, Planet
Fitness anymore.
I was like, dude.
There was a guy at Planet Fitness that was, had a disability of some kind. I don't know what. But man, that guy was jacked.
Yeah.
I mean, jacked. It looked like he had like a mild form of Down syndrome, maybe.
You got any more weights?
And,
like he's just looking like stacking them on.
Oh, I mean, he was just built.
Yeah.
And he was not heavy at all.
Yeah,
he was
they are.
He was ripped.
They're fucking brick shit houses, man. Just stone cold.
I keep
just,
yawning today. I don't know why.
It's the weather. It's been raining for like 3 days, finally.
I know.
Man.
So.
I know. Luckily, it looks like it's going to stop. I'm going down to that fishing tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Get out of town for a few days, you know.
There you go.
It's going to be fun.
Getting gloomy outside.
Take my brother with me. Hope he doesn't try to get me too drunk.
Take plenty of weights and shove them in the fish when you catch them?
Nah.
No? You don't want to get on TikTok?
I'm not a douche, you know? I mean,
I don't care to win that bad.
Yeah, people will argue with me about being a douche, but I'm not that big a douche, you know? Like, it's a fishing tournament.
You're a douche. You're not a cheater.
Yeah. Get it straight.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not a racist. I'm a bigot. I hate everybody.
Yeah, I hate everyone the same. I hate, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
So I posed a question on Facebook this morning and got some input from my followers anyway.
I saw.
And
that was good.
The question is, where do you take your mentorship from? Do you take it from the best to have ever done it? Or do you take it from those that are a little bit farther down the path than you are? And... most people tried to come up with some hybrid answer of both. And some people were kind of vague and saying,
I didn't read them.
Always start, you know, always learn. Take information everywhere you can. And
people that give cliche answers regardless of what the question is drive me insane.
Yeah.
It's like, well, don't be an idiot. Yeah. Just like speak truth.
Yeah. But most of the people on there were saying that the best who have ever done it are so far down the road that they're where you take a guy that's done this for 30 years, 20 years, and he's at the top of his game. The industry is completely different today than it was 30 years ago. And so that guy is going to try to lead with advice that he did 30 years ago.
That wouldn't even.
That doesn't really even apply today.
Be applicable today. Yeah.
Yeah. 30 years ago, everyone was on time and material. Now they're on flat rate. 30 years ago, yellow pages and white pages was king. And now everything's on the internet. 30 years ago, social media didn't exist. And now it does. You know, it's always been a tough market to find good help. That's just people have been saying that forever, and they'll always say that forever. And ones who usually scream it the most are the ones that are usually the worst leaders. The main focal point of that was to say, like, yeah, it's nice to go listen to your Tommy Mellos and your Victor Rancors and your mega coaching groups and your your big guys. In the industries, but it's very, we talk about it in the first 9 episodes of this show, which if you're newly listening to this show, the first 9 episodes of the show are, we call them our core episodes, and they cover the 6 core adversities that you need to overcome in order to start your business. So check those out. Forgive us, because if you think we suck at podcasting now, just wait till you see those first 9. We really sucked.
I've been wanting to go back. But literally, I don't want to be crushed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my ego to be crushed.
Look how far we've come,
right? Yeah. That's what I want to take from it. Like, look how great. But the whole time I'd be like, this is the most embarrassing moment of my life right now. Like, sitting in my office watching those first 9, I'm out. I just can't bring myself to do it, man.
But, yeah, we talk about it in those first 9 about how some of those guys have some great stuff. But because they're leading teams of hundreds of people and they're doing 10s and 20s and 30s and 50s of millions in revenue every year, like, they're doing more revenue in a month than you'll do in a year. They're doing more revenue in a week than you'll do in half of a year sometimes. You know, you take a company that's doing $65 million in revenue. What is that? I just smacked
easy,
my mic.
Buddy.
What?
You okay?
65 million
times 12
divided by 12, that's 5.4 million each month.
That's 1.3 a week.
That's $1.25 million a week in sales.
So
you take a company that's doing 65 million in revenue, and their weekly revenue alone is what a lot of our listeners are like aspiring to one day hope to do in a year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start my one-man show. I'm going to be chucking a truck for a little while. I'm going to try to do everything right. I'm going to hang my shingle out there, put my name out there, stake my claim. Maybe 1 year. Maybe 1 year I'll do a million.
Yeah, I just...
And these guys are doing 1.25 million each week.
I hate to ever focus all my attention or take information from people that are in the top 15 or the bottom 15%. You know what I mean? Because it's like grading on a curve, right?
Yeah.
That top 15%, those people that are doing even those people that are doing 15 mil a year, a lot of them at the time are in the right market. They started their business at the exact right time when there was a real demand for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are outliers beyond their, and I'm not saying they're not great by any means, but there are things that are outside of your control that dictate ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, a guy was a real go-getter and knew what he was doing, but got in a market that there's not a big population. There's a lot of other plumbers there, HVAC guys. And he fell to the wayside because there just wasn't a demand for his service, right?
High poverty level.
Yeah.
We got one of those guys in Tradewinds. Yeah. It's in an area where there's a lot of poverty, and so he has a hard time.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yeah, so I try not to ever go hard one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, because realistically, that's not for everyone. What we focus on, like what we, I didn't know this was going to be a Tradewinds talk, but like what we focus on in Tradewinds is what can you realistically do? Mm-hmm. What is under your control? And then how do you do the best with that?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is all, those aren't outliers.
Right.
You know, those aren't at the top. Those aren't at the bottom. That's, you're in the middle of the road. How do we make you the top 10% of the middle of the road, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would say, like, I would say you probably, same idea that you have, my percentages would be a little bit different, though. Like,
yeah, I just threw them out there.
I want to be learning from the top 15% guys, but I don't know if I want to be learning from the top 1% guys. So, as most of you know, we talk about, it's no secret, I used to be a part of Apex, and I'm not anymore. Left on great terms, no bad things or anything like that. I just felt like it wasn't for me anymore. But I had a couple of opportunities to chat one-on-one with Ryan Stuman. And we were talking business and everything else. And you just realize very quickly that he is on such a different level than a, you know, 10-employee home service shop that it just doesn't compare. It doesn't compute. Now, some of the stuff that he's talking about is definitely stuff that you want to put on the horizon, things where you're going to get into, but it's not tactical information that you're going to be able to
implement
and deploy immediately when you get home from that trip. And I think you see that a lot in a lot of these top dog type conferences, right? Well, I've gone to a couple of the Profit Rocket conferences, that's led by Victor Rancor, and it can be kind of hard to have talks like this without making it like we're not bagging on these big guys.
No.
You know, Victor Rancor is amazing. Ryan Stuman's amazing. They're all great at what they do. It's just,
can you take what they do and implement it the exact same way they do?
Right.
No, probably not.
That's
the talk.
Yeah, I've followed up enough with Victor after he sold his business in California. The guy that bought it wasn't able to repeat what Victor was doing. And that business is like half the size that it was when Victor sold it to him.
Yeah.
And Victor was considering putting himself in a position to like buy it back and build it up again. And instead, I think he bought an HVAC company down in Texas and is building that one up. But there's a level of dog in somebody, a level of fight that results in that type of growth. And if I don't have it and you don't have it and Austin doesn't have it, then there's no point in any of us trying to learn from a guy that's using that as their main driver of success.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, and we, you know, I don't know if we've ever touched on this or not, but a lot of it is the amount of risk that you're willing to deal with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some guys will literally put every penny they have and that they have worked for 10 years out on the line and not give two shits if they have to start completely over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Other guys, they don't have that risk. What is it? Management, I guess. They don't want to put it all out on the line.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm not saying that that's good, bad, indifferent. It's just sometimes to get to those levels, you literally have to risk it all.
Yeah.
I'm not one. Let's be honest. I'm not one of those guys.
Right.
I've worked really hard to get where I'm at. I'm not going to take, you know, my nest egg and be like, okay, I'm going to go buy this company because I think I can make it work. And I'm just not going to do that. Even if I think I can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't have that. I want to say ignorance, but that's not the right word. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't have that.
It's
function or function.
I mean,
it's a word that's out of my normal dictionary.
Well, I don't know how to Google it outside, for you. Yeah.
You can call it a bunch of things.
Yeah, you can.
But ultimately, it's just the willingness to get it done, right? You're not willing to risk it. And so,
like, and it's weird because I would literally, I'm literally willing to work as hard as I have to work to make something happen,
mm-hmm.
but not at the risk of what I've already done. Like,
right.
Buffett said it best. The return of my money is more important than return on my money.
Yeah.
I'm more of one of those guys.
Right.
And I don't care. I'm looking at the top. Regardless of the risk, I'm looking at the top no matter what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just not that way.
I've heard it said quite a few different ways, but basically in the entrepreneur world, your level of success will be directly determined by the amount of financial pain you can withstand.
Yeah.
And
same thing.
It's the same thing, right? If a guy's got $300,000 to his name.
Yeah.
House, cars, everything.
Yeah.
Right. And he's willing to put everything and he's worked his life for that 300.
Yeah.
And he's willing to put his entire life's work on the line for something. If it works out, he deserves a payday because well, not too many people out there are willing to put your entire life's work on the line.
Yeah.
Right. Now, because the flip side,
it could end up in zero and now you're starting at square one.
Right.
Like
now the flip side is if your entire life's work is, you know, $4,000 and that's all you have to your name. Well, you can still get the same percentage of a payday, but it's not going to be $1 million payday like the $300,000 guy might get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to explain to like keep it in perspective, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying earlier too about like that's why I don't look at the top whatever the percentage is 1%, 10%, whatever because you just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, did they get lucky with that $300,000 and to get there? Was it $300,000 and they knew what they were doing to get there?
Yeah.
You know, it's like grading on a curve in school.
Well, unfortunately, this happens a lot in big business. I find more examples of it happening than not happening. Unfortunately, in big business, the way you get rich is you simply fuck people over. There are big, big deals, $100,000, $500,000 deals that happen and somebody's pocketing all the money and doesn't pay their bills and they walk.
It happens.
And that's how they get wealthy.
I've seen it happen.
It happens all the time. It happens in small business too.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we talk about it on the show quite a bit about how general contractors love to see small one-man shops come around because they know that they can get them for something.
Yeah. People, it's amazing to me, the older I get, the more I see people, quote unquote, get off on that. Like, oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it drives them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to take advantage of this guy and I'm going to put an extra $10,000 in my pocket. And, you know,
yep.
And it's almost like they do it intentionally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I hate. That might be another topic for another day.
We got stiffed by a landlord here recently that I have no doubt entered the entire arrangement with the intention on not paying their bill.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
They called with no hot water. We showed up and we were on site within 75 minutes of their phone call to us. And we had their hot water back on in 75 minutes.
What was it?
The water,
I'm just curious.
The water heater was just out.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't find anything wrong with it. We assume that maybe the pilot light didn't get relit or didn't stay on after a gas service changeover because it was a rental property.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know, so they had to turn off the gas, change it over.
Yeah, a bunch of air in there. Lit it real quick, lit up. They walked away, went out.
Who knows? But we couldn't find anything wrong with it, tested it, diagnosed it, everything. And so we have our $89 service charge. We have a minimum repair charge of $133.
So $89, $133.
Yep.
Okay. Cheap.
It might be, I don't know. The total bill was $233. So maybe whatever. It's 123 or something. I don't know.
Don't get lost in semantics.
But ultimately, she refused to pay the bill, demanded to talk to the owner. This is highway robbery. You were only here for a few minutes.
Did you can't get me in a truck and drive over to your house for that?
Right.
Like, right. And we're time. Best friends.
And,
like,
and so,
$200.
When she's booking the call, she gives us her email. And then whenever we were trying to get paid, we're like, we just emailed you an invoice. And she's like, I don't have email. Bullshit. You just gave it. Like, how do you own 10 rental properties and not have an email address?
Yeah.
Right.
So just a piece of shit.
Oh, she's just a royal piece of shit. But that's unfortunately how some people get rich is they literally get rich by stealing from other people.
Yeah.
Right. And if there's anything I hate more than anything else in the world, it's a thief. I've been stolen from 3 times in this house.
This house has been broken. I know the one time
we got robbed blind one time.
Well, I wouldn't say blind, but a few guns, a TV.
All of our guns. They left me my 812 or 870 shotgun.
No one wants one of those. They're a dollar. No offense.
They left that, stole everything else, stole all the TVs, stole my kids' toys.
I remember taking the kids' toys at the time.
Stole our mattress.
And who takes a fucking mattress?
I was wondering the same thing, and the cops were like, they throw it in the truck and they throw the TVs on it. They steal your mattress to protect the TV.
That actually makes a lot of sense. See, but, I'm not a good crook. I didn't know that trick.
Yeah.
Now you are.
And so then we've left our garage door open on two occasions and had stuff walk out of our garage. And I mean, there's not much that gets under my skin more than a thief. And so, I despise any business that gets rich off of stealing from people. Like, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And, one of my Facebook friends, I've seen the guy at conferences before. We've exchanged a few words. I would not call him an acquaintance. He posted a picture yesterday of, it was like an infographic that was basically explaining a scenario. I don't even know if this is true or not, but,
I'm intrigued.
It's basically a guy that was like, applying to Harvard Business School, and it was $100 application fee. And he got his letter back from Harvard Business School, and they declined his application.
Kept his $100 though.
And so then he logged into his bank real fast and found that they had not deposited the check yet. And so he put a stop payment on the check. And then they called him back wanting to know what was up with the application fee payment. And he says, "Sounds like I could teach you a few things about business." And on one hand, there's part of you that's like, yeah, stick it to the man, right? The big corporation, the Harvard Business School. Well, on the other hand, they're not going to miss the 100, but that says a whole lot more about your character than it does theirs. You know what I mean? You agreed to pay the $100 application fee, and just because you got declined, you agreed to pay it whether you were approved or declined, and then you let your emotions get involved when you were denied entry.
Yeah.
And now you're stealing money back from them that is rightfully theirs. You know what I mean? That's the bullshit that I can't stand.
That's a thief. Oh, that's a bad example because it's a thief against a thief in that case.
Kind of.
They're both crooks.
Right. Well, I get why Harvard has an application process and an application fee, because if they didn't, they'd have millions and millions of applications to go through. And people that know they won't get accepted, know they won't even graduate the program, but they're just wasting everybody's time by applying. And so they're qualifying their applicants by charging that fee up front. It's no different than a home service company that charges a trip charge.
Oh, that's what I mean by bad example. Like, and this is a very specific example. Harvard has enough money that they could take applications for 50 million years and not, you know what I mean? It's not a service-based industry as in, if I don't collect these fees, we'll go under.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? You're qualifying customers based on the needs of the business. They're doing it to, oh man, I can't believe I'm going to say this. They're probably doing it for greed alone.
No, like, it's not greed.
They don't need to qualify them because they have so much money, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Literally everyone in America could send in an application and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And who knows if that story is true or not, and who knows what their application is. I know,
that's why I just, like, it's a weird example.
It is a weird example, but just the high-level overview of the thing is people who agreed to pay something, and then when it didn't turn out the way they wanted, they now want to cancel their payment.
Yeah. The home service example is way better.
But meanwhile, everything turned out exactly as it should. It just wasn't the outcome they wanted. And so in home service, where we get that is people who agree for a price.
Yeah.
And then the job gets done faster than they thought it should.
Yeah.
And now they get upset. Meanwhile, they got everything else they wanted, right? They got the high quality. They got the great repair. They got the timely service. They got the warranty.
Yeah.
They got everything.
Yeah.
But if it gets done faster than they expected, now they turn into animals to get some kind of vengeance.
Well, and I like the first part of that analogy of, like, the guy agreed to pay the $100.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Right.
Like, he has no one to blame but himself.
Right.
Like,
right.
Sack up.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I mean by thief on thief. Both of them should be, like, persecuted.
Right.
Like, you know? I mean, just...
Well, and so, like, unfortunately,
evil breeds
a lot of...
Evil breeds evil. Like, it's just...
A lot of big businesses do that, right? So, like, Tommy Mello is another one that's a great example for this. Tommy Mello's great. I've met him a few times, chatted with him a little bit. He's definitely on the spectrum of some kind. I don't know if he's on the spectrum for autism or if he's
Asperger's.
Got Asperger's or like he definitely has insane ADHD. Insane. And so he's found a way to channel that.
It's hard for me to even talk to those people.
It is.
Because I'm just like, dude.
Yeah.
Like fucking have a Valium.
Well,
like, relax.
When
man.
You're
like,
having a conversation
shit.
With them, it's hard to understand how that type of person is so successful. And it's because their brain is processing things at a much faster rate than anybody else's. And so like, I get it. Right.
Yeah.
But
I get it. They're processing instead of doing two or three things at a time, they're doing five or six things at a time, which makes them double productive. That's the dumb man's way to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're doubling the time you have.
Right.
Is the way to think about it.
Yeah. And I mean, he did it right. He didn't get tied down with a woman and kids and everything when he was young. I don't think he's not even married yet. I think he's just got a girlfriend.
Get tied down with kids when he was young or a wife. Your wife doesn't listen to this.
Well,
dude.
I don't want to say do it right. Like I did it
she
wrong.
Just anchoring you to the ground.
I'm just saying if you have dreams of growing the biggest garage door company in the nation, you're going to be able to go a lot faster if you don't have a wife and kids.
Yeah.
Right?
This was the big thing when I played in all those bands, like everyone was, the whole deal was if you had a wife or if you had a wife and a kid, like you just weren't going to make it. I mean, you've got to travel.
Yeah.
You know, you're traveling 6-8 months a year.
Yeah.
For pennies.
Right.
Like it just doesn't work. And the whole thing is, well, you made that choice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it was your decision.
Yeah.
Same thing for him.
Yeah.
Like he decided,
yeah,
I'm going to focus here. I'm not going to do that.
When I say he did it right, I don't mean he's doing life right. I mean, he did business.
I know.
Right.
I'm just fucking with you a little bit. Mitch is on edge. You can always tell.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty calm. He's pretty calm.
Ish.
So Tommy Mello, Victor Rancor, Ryan Stuman, Andy Frisella, Ed Milette, trying to think of who else, Alex Hormozi. There's a lot of big names out there that have mentorship group like things.
Mm-hmm.
But they almost evolve more into big business networking groups than they actually do mentorship groups. In other words, if you're in Tommy Mello's group, you're rubbing shoulders with other multi-million-dollar home service companies, owners from around the nation. You're not going to learn a lot from Tommy, maybe. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You might learn a lot from the $12 million guy in the room that's here to learn from Tommy. You might strike up a conversation with the $12 million guy and you're at $9 million.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn more from the $12 million guy than you will from the $60 million guy standing on stage.
Well, and it's kind of like what we talk about a lot in Trade Winds. Those guys that are in the group get as much from each other as they do from us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like being in the same room with those, with like minded individuals that are working to get to the, all trying to get to the same level.
Yeah.
Like they get from them as much as they get from us.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Just the fact that you can have your, how do I say this? You can have all of your questions answered by someone that is looking to do the same as you or as close to the same level as you.
Right.
even if it's just to, you know, reiterate what you're doubting yourself in.
Right.
You know, okay, I'm not doubting myself, but I'm trying to get to here. This guy's trying to get to here. He's backing up what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that, I think, is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you've learned some of that being an Apex. Like, when you were in Apex, you know, all those guys that were at the top end, like, you know, you paid to sit in the front row and get in the green room and all that, and then you're like, man, I'm gaining more knowledge from these guys that are here at my level or just above my level than I am from those people I came to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a total of 3 different $1 million masterminds. Maybe just 2.
I think you went to 3 or 4.
No, it was just 2.
It was just two.
The first one I went to, I went all out, front row, center seat, $5,000 ticket. The next one I went to, I didn't spend $5,000 for the entire trip, and I took my wife and one of our plumbers, and we bought the cheapest seats we could find. Yeah. And the idea was, the message is the same in the back of the room as it is the front row.
Yeah.
The speaker, there's no translation that happens halfway across that room.
No.
Right? There's no translation that lands differently in GA as it does in the VIP seating.
Yeah.
And I also learned at those events, if you're considering going to any events like that, the big events, it's kind of useless to do VIP if the event isn't ran properly. So, like, I paid for all this VIP backstage stuff. Well, all this, and you're supposed to be able to, like, they set it on there. You can get backstage and chat with all the speakers and have conversations with them and ask them all your questions and everything. They had no time for anybody.
Yeah.
They, like, nobody. It's not like I had to wait in line and they didn't have time for me. I mean, they got back off backstage and they were like, I got a jet to catch. See ya.
Yeah.
I exchanged, like, maybe 30 words with Sean Whalen. And, like, literally, he came back with 3 words, and that was join Lion's Den, which is his mentorship group.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Fuck off.
Thanks.
The Kamala special.
Yeah. Do you look him right in the face and go, you know what this fucking ticket cost me?
Yeah.
God, you know, just.
The Kamala answer would have been like, well, I grew up in a middle class home.
No, the Kamala answer would have been like.
Yeah.
Just laugh.
Yeah.
Just laugh and deflect to some story of your childhood.
Man, I don't know what, like, this is off topic, but I don't know what list I've gotten on with my Yahoo email, but well, I've been getting.
For one, it's a Yahoo email, so they assume you're 60. Mm.
That's probably true. But
AOL.com.
They're all, I have like 4 fucking emails, okay? Cut me a break. But on that one, for some reason, all I'm getting lately are Democrat emails that are, but this is how they all start. I get 3 a day, probably. They all start, it's someone's name who's running in a county or state somewhere that's losing. It's all these big, oh, we're not going to be able to compete with the MAGA Republicans. We need you to donate X amount of dollars. I'm like, how did I get on this list? It's insane, dude.
This is a sidebar from the topic of the show, but you want to know why the Democrats are always very successful in elections? Everyone's always astounded by this, and it's really fucking simple.
Like a ground game.
No. The Democrats,
I'm listening.
The Democrats are sending out emails saying, we need your support, we're losing. Meanwhile, the Republicans are sending out all these infographics saying, we're winning by a landslide. You know what that does?
Makes people not vote.
That makes Republicans not vote and Republicans not want to donate money. And that makes every single Democrat under the sun, alive or dead, U.S. citizen or not, show up at the polls and vote.
You know what the only person that I have heard from? Which is weird. It hasn't been emailed. The only ads I'm seeing for Republicans is Donald Trump's ad on Facebook.
Yeah.
I see that. Hey, but it's like him. He's giving a spiel. If you would donate, you know, $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only one.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it from any of the guys in our freaking state.
I've never donated to
I didn't mean to get us off topic.
That's
but
all right.
It just drives me insane.
I'll put the Trade Winds ad right where
that's fine.
You know what I think? If you like to know Trade Winds.
That's good, dude.
I've never donated to a political campaign because I'm kind of against that.
Yeah, I think to be honest, it either there needs to be caps on everyone. Like, you should be allowed to donate X amount of dollars, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, you pick the candidates you really care about, and you can donate that money, and that's it.
Right. Right.
And that's all good for both sides.
For
everyone.
The same reason lobbyists are bad.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, if I want to run for president and I talk, you know, big giant organizations into giving me gobs of money.
Yeah.
That's obviously going to hedge my bets to win.
Yeah.
But now I have to do what those organizations wanted me to do. I got to vote this thing in. I got to vote that thing. Yeah, like,
I mean, you know, that's exactly how
that happens.
You don't have to, but that's how you stay in office.
It's so similar to sponsors on YouTube where it's like, yeah, I get this free phone to review over my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They didn't tell me what I had to say,
yeah.
But you still kind of have that thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. They did give me a free phone, so I can't bash it.
But right? If I want to get the next phone next year to review.
Yeah. If I want them to give me one next year, I have to give them a good review.
Right? Yeah.
It's the same reason we turned down the Ford deal. Was because, well, I say we were going to turn down the Ford deal. They yanked it out from underneath us beforehand. But
they didn't yank it out.
They just wanted to script our YouTube videos and everything else, and we were like, no.
Yeah.
They ripped it out, and then they drove into a pole.
Yeah. Well, and then they filed bankruptcy 6 months later, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, fuck them.
Not Ford, but
fuck them.
One of their sister
Visor.
Companies. Yeah.
Lick my...
Ligma.
That's where the next commercial starts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen... The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Of course.
Whenever they have that crash, but they cut into that Subway commercial, as the car's rolling,
yeah. And then it's a commercial. Yeah. And then they come back to it. What were we talking about?
So, like, the latest Tradewinds event that we had was we were very intentional about where we put that event down at the lake, give people time to have tons of conversations. It was not structured. It was very loosely structured. I don't want to say it was like chaos, but it was very loosely structured. The idea was create a condition for all of these like-minded business owners to converse amongst themselves. And we are obviously in that same group and just conversation flowing. And it was conversation flowing 24/7. And the guys that attended that event probably got more value from that event than anybody else. Right.
Probably.
You know, I went to an event one time where Ed Mylett was speaking, and Ed Mylett's got some great stuff. Right. But sometimes you get some arrogance about you, and he was doing like a self motivation kind of thing. A talk on stage. I had heard this talk before.
Oh, that's even worse.
I heard it like a month before
parroted.
Yeah.
Teleprompter.
And, and so I had already heard it before. I already knew where he was going to get emotional. I already knew where he was going to get loud. I already knew where he was going to get loud and then pause for dramatic effect. And
did you just get up and leave?
No, I listened to it.
I've seen this.
I listened to it, but there were a couple of people in the room that were chattering amongst themselves, and it broke his focus. And they weren't loud. They weren't disruptive, but it wasn't all eyes on him. Pin drop kind of setting.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that. And so he called out these people from stage.
Yeah.
And he said, Hey fellas. And he like snapped at him, and he's like, you got a guy on stage that's worth $1 billion. I think I'd listen.
See, if I had been one of those guys that had heard that speech before, I'd have stood up and been like, I've already heard this speech.
Yeah.
Come up with something new.
Right.
And I'd have walked the fuck out.
Well, and the
thing
is,
that's why I don't go to stuff like that. 'Cause I'm just,
so it, his speech was about a book that he had ironically just released.
Of course it was.
Yeah. Called The Power of One More. And it was basically like, you can do one more. You always have more in the tank than you think you do.
Yeah. And you say that till you're on your deathbed. I can do one more year. No, you're dead, dude.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is like, when you have a guy on stage that's worth $1 billion telling you you've got more in the tank than you think you do, that rings differently than the guy that's at the $1 million level when you're at the $300,000 level telling you you have more in the tank than you think you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
And so that's why those guys were wanting to chatter amongst themselves, is because the guy is so successful. It's hard for him. I don't want to say it's hard for him to relate to people, but it's hard for people to be able to relate to him.
It's both. I'll give you both.
Yeah.
But like it just is. You just can't. I can't go up to Brad Pitt and relate to him as an actor. I can't do it, right? I can't go up to Ed Mylett, like you were just saying, and be like, well, yeah, I know what it's like to be up here and be... You can't do it.
Right.
Until you're there, you can't do it. Proximity of success to people that you take mentorship from, regardless, is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Proximity is more important than rah-rah, hey, look at all these big names we have.
Right.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Proximity and actual success is more important.
Yeah. And with the digital day and age, so like big conferences and success groups and all of that stuff, they're kind of a popular thing, but they are kind of dying out a little bit. And the main reason why is because it's what I think is it's the same reason that I don't go to like plumbing conventions.
Yeah.
You know, like for plumbing, I don't know about these other conventions, but the big plumbing convention in the US is called the WET Show. It used to be called the Pumper Show because they were talking about like sewer pumper trucks.
Yeah.
Austin's over there snickering.
Yeah, because he's a fucking child.
Pump it up. That's the song I was thinking of, the pump it up.
No, now it's like the water and environmental treatment.
Of course it is.
It's WETT. I don't know what that acronym is. Yeah. But like there's no product there that I'm going to learn anything from that I can't learn on the internet.
Yeah.
I guarantee you every product that's there, every plumbing tool, every plumbing, anything that's there is out there on the internet. I can just go find it, research it, look it up, find it on a group.
Yeah.
Post it on a group, ask, hey, what do you think about it? Like I can do so much with the internet that I don't need to take up my time and drive to Indianapolis and go to that show. Right. Except proximity. Right.
Yeah.
Like, Roger Wakefield is a big personality in the plumbing world, right? He is one of the most licensed plumbers in the U.S. In regards to holding all of the licenses that you can hold.
Wish they'd just go to a national
thing. I know
all of them. HVAC, electric. I wish they just let's get over it. Come on,
but
too much money to be made.
I can follow him on Facebook. I can try to interact with his stuff. I can do all of that. But I met him in person through proximity. I was down at an Apex event, and there's a guy in Apex that's one of his really good friends that does a lot of video stuff for him, or used to. He doesn't do it anymore. And Roger Wakefield, I'm at an Apex event listening to a speaker, and I look off to my left, and I see a face that I recognize very well. It's Roger, and he's not even a member of Apex. I didn't even know what he was – like, he lives in Dallas – I didn't even know what he was doing.
He walked in there and was like, hey, I want to see what this is about. Can I get a seat? And they were like, yes.
That's exactly
that's what
happened. And they didn't know him from anybody, but his buddy let him in, right?
Yeah.
And so I just get up and I walk. I can't even remember who was speaking on stage. I ignored whoever it was.
Obviously someone shitty.
And no, it was just the opportunity to chat with Roger Wakefield. I wasn't letting that down.
You suck. I'm walking out of here.
And so I walk straight over to Roger and I'm like, I know you. Meet me in the hallway. And he was like, okay. And so we go out in the hallway and I'm like, now we can actually chat without defending them. Master plumber, followed you for years, do a lot of stuff on video. And he was like, oh yeah, we do video too. Like he's big on TikTok. He's real big on TikTok and we don't do anything on TikTok. But he was like, oh yeah, what kind of videos do you do? And I showed him a couple. And of course I go to my most popular video where we're explaining thermal expansion. Yeah. And immediate connection. He's watched the whole thing. He was like, that is hands down the best thermal expansion video I've ever seen.
That's not a short video either. That's a long video.
It's a long video, but he recognized it from the title and he recognized me at that point. Mm. And then he looks down at my shirt and he goes, you're the Fixed Pipes Pet Dogs guy and all of this stuff. And so he's seen me and I've seen him, right? And we quickly talked about possibly working together, but it's kind of different.
Yeah.
Like we have different goals and different visions and everything else, but we still respect each other, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so, but I guess the only, you know, in person at that seminar, I never would have met if I phoned in that seminar.
Yeah.
You know, if I did the whole online webinar thing, because they always have a live camera in the back and you can always watch them online from home, right?
Like what else, like how bored am I?
I couldn't pay attention if I did that.
No, your ADHD is getting bad, yeah. Old man.
But, you know, so because of proximity, I was able to meet Roger Wakefield, right?
Yeah.
And I've met quite a few guys. I've, you know, met David Goggins, and, you know, quite a few other people like that just from the proximity. But the thing to take away from all that is I got more impact from the people I was sitting around than the people on stage.
Yeah.
Right. Sean Whalen was on stage and I go backstage to chat with him and he basically told me to fuck off. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but he was like, you know,
that's why
join my group, pay me for the information that you just asked me.
Yeah.
Right.
My patience is not as good.
Ed Mylett. So the first time I heard Ed Mylett speak,
I paid for this ticket, motherfucker.
the first time I heard Ed Mylett speak, was at that conference where I had the front stage, you know, front row, center seat, backstage pass. And I went back after Ed Mylett got off stage and he was the one who didn't have time for me and had to go catch a jet. But he did have time to sign the book. I had his book that he wrote.
What
so
do?
Right, it's like not it doesn't. Any, it's not like, worth anything.
I don't want to get off on a whole other thing here, but like, you know, we talk about all the time your heroes. Like, don't meet your heroes. You know,
yeah.
Like you've got that book. You love everything he said about, and it's all great. And then you meet him, and he signs your book, and you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then 2 months goes by, and you're looking at the book, and you're like, how did this benefit me?
Right.
Did it benefit me at all?
Right.
To spend the money to do that, to do this, like, what did I actually gain from this?
Right.
What perspective did I get? Sometimes it's nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, man, I think I might have wasted my time. Like, I've done this.
Yeah.
I might have just wasted my time.
Well,
you know,
like, I mean, we waste a lot of time.
Yeah, we
do. And some of it's intentional. Like, you go into these conferences knowing that you're going to waste a lot of time, but you're hoping for a couple of things that make it worth it. And
yeah, you're hoping for a couple of nuggets or a couple connections. And
yeah.
Oh, this is how, you know, and like proximity, before we get too far off, like proximity as in amount of money earned also, I think is a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Not like just talking and being there and being part of it, but people that are at the same level that you're at,
yeah,
is just as important.
Well,
or just above it. Like, when I say proximity, I mean, if someone is so far out of your stratosphere, you know, like we've been talking about the whole show, I think sometimes that's a waste.
Yeah.
The closer to you that they are, the more you will gain from them,
yeah.
I think, is what I want to say. And then,
yeah.
And then once you reach that level and you're equal with them or a little above them, find another one that's just a little bit out of,
right.
You know, where you can then try to get to their level.
Imagine
you're,
if you
you're
went
stoning, you yeah. know,
imagine if you went
stone
and had
stepping.
Dinner
ladder rum
with, imagine if you went and had dinner with all of the top elites in Trump's, entourage.
I'd be lost as shit.
You would have like, you could admire the guy on the internet.
Yeah. I'd be lost.
But when he starts talking about all of the complex real estate stuff and the compounding interest and how he's acquiring money to fund these other things and TIFs and bonds and, you know, all of these things, you would be so
yeah.
fucking lost, right?
Yeah. And even if you understood it, as far as like, just for one example, if borrowing other people's money or getting them to sign on and then taking that money and then investing it, like, even if you understood it, that doesn't mean that you're at the level of comfort where you could do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
right.
and even implement it and make it happen.
Yeah.
It's so far out of your field of view that it's just a waste.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking waste.
And that's where a lot of people burn out on the success group type thing. Is you get a guy who
they're not in this right house.
So well, here's the logical timeline of an entrepreneur. In the trades industry, an entrepreneur,
a successful one or one that wants to be an entrepreneur,
doesn't matter.
Because
an entrepreneur in the trades industries typically started out by doing the craft, right? You're a tile guy. You're a drywaller. You're a sheetrocker. You're a painter. Yeah. You're a roofer, a framer,
okay,
plumber, HVAC, electrical, whatever. Doesn't matter, right? And then you realize that I'm pretty good at this job, right? You get a lot of people that just fizzle out and they're working for Friday. You get other people, yeah, that are like, this is going to be my career. I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And so then they start gaining a little bit more confidence, and then they start having, everyone has that little question in the back of their mind. Could I do this on my own? Could, yeah, I stake my claim?
Let's be honest. That thought comes too early.
It does. It does.
I've been here 6 months. I can do this.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you don't realize how much leadership is actually helping you. Right.
Yeah.
Until you tell leadership to piss off and you go start your own company, and now you have nobody.
You're looking around
to
like,
lean,
oh,
on
shit,
for advice.
Oh shit.
And so you clamor around for a couple of years, and you kind of like, you've replaced your income, maybe a little more, but you've lost that spark and that desire and that knowledge that you need to grow, because you lost your leadership when you walked away from the company.
You walked away at the plateau. Like, yeah, you reached your plateau.
Yeah.
Where do I go from here?
And so then you start catching a reel or an Instagram thing or a post or something from somebody on the internet that they're putting out so much content, they have a message that resonates with you at the time. Okay. Right now, like take right now, for example, right now it's Q3. Everything sucks in the home services space right now. Call volume's down right now. Nobody wants to buy.
It's an election year.
It's an election year. Like, it is just fucking tough, right? So what's happening right now? Marketing agencies are pumping, dude, out ads like crazy, acting like they can solve your problems.
No,
No, they can't.
No.
Right? It doesn't matter.
No matter how great you are at marketing, if the call volume's not there because people don't want to spend the money,
right,
no one can help you.
Right.
No one can help you.
We are right now, for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we have been the number one contractor, top of the list on Google LSA. And it's only netting us like 6 phone calls a day.
That's tough.
Okay. Top of the list in an area with millions of people. Top of the list. And it's only getting us, yeah, 6 phone calls a day. There's just not that many people needing work right now.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Or wanting to spend money.
Wanting to spend money.
Right.
Like the emergencies, that's what the 6 calls are.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I have to do this or else, you know.
We had a guy call us on Google LSA today. Keep in mind, I pay $62 every time they call us. Called us. I paid $62.
I'm going to start calling through LSA.
Answer the phone
with him.
And the guy says, I need a new sump pump. I got quoted $1,000. If you can beat it, you can get it. Hey, as luck would have it, we're under $1,000. We're good. He calls back 20 minutes later.
This guy said he'd do it for $900 now that I said that.
Yep.
You can kiss my ass, bud. Right.
And
my
price is the same. He's literally just phone shopping.
Yeah.
But he's calling everybody through LSA. So he got like...
Oh, so he cost
you. He probably earned Google $16. More money than any of these contractors are ever going to earn selling him a sump pump, because he called so many.
That sucks.
Called us twice.
That sucks.
Right now, Google should filter the second one out. They will absolutely charge us for the first one. They should filter the second one out. We'll see. But
now that they're gonna.
Well, he called back again and canceled.
Oh, canceled. He didn't come back around to try to get you down further.
What if you don't answer it? Like, if you know it's the same number, you're like, just wait for the voicemail. Does that count?
You, in a home service business, you never intentionally not answer your phone.
Like, even if you know it's the same guy, you're like, well, I want to pay $62.
First off, if you've scheduled a call, you have to answer it, because what if the guy's going to be there later? What if he needs to reschedule?
You don't understand how technology works.
Answer the phone.
You know it's him, but you don't know if he called through Google LSA or not.
Gotcha.
So technology monitors that phone call. We don't know until we answer the call and it says, this is a Google call.
Okay.
And so that's how you know unless it's okay. Right.
To contradict Mitch's point, I have intentionally not answered the phone because I know who those people are. I'm like, fuck those people.
Saying,
we all want to pretend like we're above it. You know, like, oh, I'm not going to, I answer everything. I'm tactful. Man, I used to be like, oh, I know that. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like, I would just assume, like, I don't know if it's Google, but it's the same number that just called me. Like,
keep in mind, too, you don't want to play games with Google. If you're paying them to try to get ads and then you start playing games with them, they see it and they're like, fuck you. I'm going to give these leads to somebody else.
Yeah.
So you have to behave a certain way to get to the top ranking spot.
If a business is just not answering phones, they're going to, like, there's like some algorithm that goes through that's like, well, I'm not going to give.
What's Google's job?
To make money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not allowing them to make money, they're going to shift the call to somebody else that is allowing them to make money.
Yeah. And
so
like this, I don't want to get off topic again. We're almost out of time, but like, that's why we tell people to market for themselves.
Yeah.
And be on Facebook and get word of mouth calls. That's like the number one thing we teach in TradeWinds.
Right.
Because then you don't even have to fuck with that stuff.
Right.
So, right. I mean, people don't like, it's amazing to me. And we've had some guys come and go in TradeWinds for sure that were this way, but they would rather pay $62 per call, talk to that person three times, than spend 5 minutes running their own Facebook ads a day.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? It's just, I still cannot figure out why. I don't know if it's laziness, if it's a lack of them wanting to put themselves out there. You know, they get out of TradeWinds pretty quick, like, because we challenge them pretty hard. But yeah, it's just like, why would you be so stupid?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, so arrogant. Why would you want to pay? Dude.
Yeah, a word of mouth referral is the best lead you can get because they already know you, they already like you, and they already trust you.
Insane to me, man.
So, yeah.
Fucking insane to me.
And that's part of why we have a lower conversion rate with these Google calls, is because they're calling a company that they didn't know. They don't know if they like, and they don't yet trust.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's a shot in the dark every time you answer the phone.
We were top on Google. And so
from SEO,
you're trying to build no like and trust from the ground up, from the phone call.
Yeah.
Instead of, my neighbor really loves you and I admire my neighbor, so I trust their opinion.
Yeah.
That gets you so far. Like, word of mouth referrals get you so far, yeah, in business.
Google.
And if you're a one man shop struggling for work right now,
that's probably on you.
It's gotta be like, I'm you sorry. Gotta nail the word of mouth referral game.
I'm sorry. It's probably on you. You're either,
well, if you,
it could be 100 million different things.
If you are a one man show and struggling for work right now, go back to episode 36 of this show. That's where we talk about my full playbook on how we get Google reviews. And Google reviews are a byproduct of delivering a world-class level of service that gets you word-of-mouth referrals.
Yeah.
If you can condition a customer to give you a Google review, they've already done the behavior of giving you a referral, they are twice as likely to give you a word-of-mouth referral in the future.
Yes.
So that is massive if you can get the word-of-mouth referral. So the parameters of this show, and it was kind of confirmed by social media. I felt like the answers were going to go that way, but I wasn't sure. You never really know.
Social media, you never know what people are going to say.
Right, right. But as a whole, I would say, like, everyone's going to be different. For me, I want like 10 or 15% of my learning coming from the top of the top of the top, the best to have ever done it. But I want 85% of my learning to come from the guys that are just a little bit farther down the path than me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to resonate a lot more with 80, you know, with what they're saying than top of the top.
You're able to implement most of what they're saying because they're right, close enough to you that you can handle it, mm-hmm, on a mental level, on a financial level, on an actually having the time to get that stuff done.
Right.
You know, it's more, this is kind of how we say it in TradeWinds too. It's more realistic.
Yeah.
To be just a little bit better than above average than it is to try to get to the top 1%.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Like baby steps are what it takes. Like that's the realistic plan to get to where you want to go. There's not going to be a leap. There's not going to be a jump. And unless it's just an outlier, it's going to take a little at a time.
Have you ever seen, Mythbusters did this. A couple other people have proved it. Have you ever seen it's a physics experiment. They have two balls on two ramps.
Okay.
And one ramp.
Are these like huge or are they just like bowling balls?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
One ramp is at a 45 degree angle straight.
Okay.
The other ramp is steeper than a 45 and then it levels out. And then it's steeper than a 45 and then levels out. And then it's steeper than a 45 and then levels out.
Okay.
And the question is,
do they end at the same level eventually?
The question is the ball, which ramp is going to lead into the ball getting to the end faster, right? The curved ramp is longer. The ball has a much longer journey on the curved ramp.
Yeah.
Than the straight line between two points, right? Picture a square.
Yeah.
You go diagonal from corner to corner. That's one ramp.
Yeah.
The other ramp is S-shaped over and over and over all the way down. Which ball do you think lands first?
It's got to be the S one.
It is the S1.
Because if it's steeper at those other times, it's moving faster at that rate.
Right. And then it carries its momentum along the flats, and then it moves faster again. And then it carries its momentum and then moves faster, right?
Yeah, that just common sense to me.
So the comparison...
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, the comparison there is a lot of people... Now take those ramps and turn them upright. Okay? We're defying gravity for a minute. But if the logic was the straight line between two points you thought was faster, but it's actually slower... Now when you turn those up like a graph that's rising, that's how business grows. You grow real steep.
Oh, that's good, dude.
And then you plateau for a minute.
Yeah.
And then you break the plateau and you grow real steep and you get to another level and then you plateau for a minute. A lot of people think business growth is straight line linear.
No.
I did 1 million this year. I did 1.2 million. Then I did 1.4. Then I did 1.6. And then I'm going to do 1.8. And then I'm going to do 2.
And that could be true for the year, but most of it's quarterly based. You know what I mean? First quarter, I did that. I should be looking at it every quarter. Well, guess what? One quarter may be down.
My first year in business, we did 150 grand in revenue. My second, we did 779, and my third, we did 1.2 million.
Yeah, that's a linear straight line.
That's pretty straight up.
Yeah.
But then we did 1.4, and this year we're going to do 1.6.
Pretty flat.
We've kind of plateaued, right? I was at a lunch today with somebody who said, "What do you think the next plans are for your business?" And I said, "We are so close to doubling in size. And it's going to happen like that." Like, I know the problems that I still have left to fix in my business. And once I fix those problems, we're going to go from 1.6 to 3, like a light switch. And people are going to go like, "My God, they grew."
What happened? Cut benefits.
They're going to think something just popped up overnight.
You show up next Tuesday, I'm just not here.
Yeah. They're going to think something just popped up overnight. But what it was all of the building and all of the lessons and all of the learning that happens during the plateau.
Yeah.
Right? Let's take some football analogies for a second.
Oh, here we go.
Bengals right now are 0-3. We had Monday Night Football last night. They lost their third game in a row.
Shit, too.
They're not doing well, right?
Steely's a Bengals fan, too. I feel bad for the kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. You know, they're not looking good. However, they're still a championship caliber team.
Nope.
Okay?
I will disagree with that, but go ahead.
Caliber.
Nope.
They're not a championship team because they don't have a championship.
Nope.
But they're up there.
Are they?
And so everyone, you know, the short-minded people, the short-sighted people are thinking, "Oh, the Bengals are cooked this year." Everyone else knows they were learning lessons through these first three losses that people are going to figure out real quick, right?
They're learning lessons like, if all my top wide receivers in the league are not playing, Joe Burrow looks like shit.
Yeah, this is true.
Like, yeah.
They still got Chase. But.
Sorry, Steely. If you're listening, buddy, I'm sorry.
But, I mean, the Chiefs are the same way, right? And that's why you get teams that lose the easy games and win the hard games is because – They're plateauing at weird places.
Yeah.
And they're putting the work in when it needs to happen, and when their back's against the wall, they figure out a way.
Yeah.
And that's inevitably the difference between everyday people and really successful entrepreneurs is everyday people allow themselves to get way too comfortable, and really successful entrepreneurs, no matter how much they have in the bank, no matter how much they're doing already, they always find a way to put their back against the wall because that's when we perform the best. And so the idea is you want to put yourself in rooms with other people that are kind of in between that crazy successful guy and where you're at.
Yeah.
Right? I can look like, so because of Apex, I've got hundreds of, probably 400 to 500 of my Facebook friends are through Apex. And it's pretty easy to find them because I'll click on one of the friends and it'll say, like, you have 478 friends in common with this person.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's Apex, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. You watch people come into Apex. And I'm using Apex because that's what I have the most experience with. But you would watch people come into Apex. And you would watch people leave Apex either at the same level they entered in or 10x above.
No middle ground.
No middle ground. Was Apex the reason for that? No. It was the individual. It was the individual that was willing to apply what they were learning, and the individual that was willing to get out of their comfort zone, and the individual that was willing to put their back against the wall and make shit happen. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that join groups like that. We've even had a couple in TradeWinds where they join the group
thinking that
they think the group is success.
Yeah.
You still got to do the work. The group gives you all the information. The group tells you how. The group lays it out for you. You still have to have the tough conversation with your employee. You still have to put out the money to do the thing. You still have to make the tough decision in your business. You still have to do all the hard things. We just tell you which decisions to make.
Yeah.
And there are people that refuse to make those decisions, and then they leave the organization, whether it's Tradewinds or any of them. They leave the organization at the same level they entered in. And here's the number one thing with all those people. They never blame themselves.
They
always blame the organization.
I will say this. Is Tradewinds going on 2 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years
now. A year and a half.
I've never heard anyone have a bad thing to say.
Nope.
Even the ones that have been out short early.
Yep.
Like, they've always sent an email that says, hey.
Proof of concept, we've had a couple people leave and come back.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason why.
Had two last week.
Yeah. And the reason why is because they realize it's them. It's not the organization.
Yeah.
Right. We had one guy that we kind of booted. He kind of left. It was kind of a mutual thing. He won't ever come back. But it's because he's refusing to put in the work.
Yeah.
We had 3 months in a row where we gave him very specific instructions on what to do. And 3 months in a row, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And so.
And then we'd say at the beginning of the call, well, I'm just not seeing the growth. I'm not seeing the calls. Well, did you do this, this, and that? Well, no. Well, then what the fuck do you want, dude?
Right.
Like, stop wasting my time.
Right.
This is the same. What I didn't realize how similar. I shouldn't say similar. We are not as hard on the guys as Keith is on you.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Keith will literally tell you. I didn't know how I was going to feel about Keith. I think I really fucking like him.
Yeah.
Like, he will literally tell you to your face, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're fucking this up. Why are you not doing it?
Yeah.
Like, we're not as hard on the guys as he is on you.
Right.
But maybe that day's coming.
Well, it's a thing you have to grow into.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Like, you can't take a guy who's never been a part of any success group, entrepreneurship group, mastermind, or anything, and then immediately light his ass on fire on the stake.
No. Right? No.
Poor Nothing Dave like, Maben. That happened to
poor
him.
Poor Dave.
But he's coming out the other side stronger.
Yeah, he is.
You have to kind of work him into that, right? And I knew Keith before I signed up with him. I knew exactly what I was signing up for, and that's why I signed up with him, right?
This guy's going to kick me in the balls day one.
Ultimately, it comes down to making a very conscious, like, if you've never done anything notable, you don't need to call up Andy Elliott, right? You don't need Mr. Six-Packer, you're fired, to whip your ass into shape. Start with a middle ground thing, right? Some of these coaching groups are $25,000 a year. It's fucking crazy.
It's a lot of money, man.
And that's a whole lot of money. What's crazy is a lot of these coaching groups, the biggest product they sell is their own fucking coaching group.
That's true.
and that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
If you have more revenue coming in from your coaching group than you do your main business, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And it makes it very difficult for you to be ethical to the people in your coaching group, because here you are trying to talk about how much of a badass you are. Well, it's the coaching group that made you a badass, not your main business.
Yeah.
Right. And so, that's a big problem, but that's what you get with a lot of like the Elliott Army and stuff like that. And I'm not bashing Andy Elliott. Like, I mean, he's definitely out there and he's getting crushed right now on a lot of platforms. Baller Busters is an account on Instagram. And all they do is just go bust ballers.
Oh, really?
Guys that are fake balling on Instagram and acting like they're crazy wealthy, but meanwhile they're caught up in lawsuits and fraud claims and everything else.
Read a book a day.
And I might need to follow this guy.
Tyler Lopez.
Or that guy. Find out who's getting crushed.
Wes Watson gets crushed all the goddamn time.
I don't know who that is.
You ought to look him up. You'll hate him real fast.
Whatever happened to that guy?
That only hurts me if I hate someone else that I don't know.
A lot of people hate him.
No, but I know. I'm not saying it's not justified. I'm saying that only hurts me if I look it up and then like I'm mad at this guy.
Yeah.
Like, that only hurts me, man.
Yeah. Basically,
no, I'm not doing that.
Basically, Wes Watson, he spent a lot of time in prison. He's definitely got nutrition and physical fitness dialed in. But it's one of those things where it's like you can follow him or join him or join his group or pay his program or whatever. And like, that's all he's got to like, it's his group that buys him all the cars and the fancy dinners and the luxury lifestyle.
Like, is he like rich?
He's got like 10 cars, a couple of Bugattis, you know, stuff like that. But it's all financed by the people in his group. It's not financed by his main avenue.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? That would be like me trying to say, you know, join Tradewinds. I've never owned a plumbing company. I've never done a home service thing.
But I'll teach you how to do it.
Right.
Sign up.
Well, that's why you're the plumbing channel works, is because you did 20 years of plumbing before you started a YouTube channel. You get people that they'll do it for 2 weeks and be like, oh, here's how you do this.
Right, right. Now, the flip side of that is you can make some hilarious content by being a DIYer, because now you're going to be showcasing, oh, shit, I didn't expect that. I didn't know you had to turn the water off before you cut the pipe open.
Oh, you know what poop tastes like? Yeah, like that's just bad.
I think as long as you stay like, hey, I'm learning at this too. This is what I found out. Here's what I learned. Yeah, maybe you're making the same mistake.
That's different though.
But also it doesn't cost anybody to watch a YouTube video, mm-hmm. right? It's different than if you're going to pay somebody $3,000 a month mm-hmm. to, you know, get your mindset right. And they like literally, what do? Well, they just charge people $3,000 a month to get their mindset right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Wes Watson, he's not teaching you how to invest in real estate. He's not teaching you how the stock market works, anything else. Like, he's teaching you fitness and nutrition and discipline, but that's it.
I'm like, if you just want me to tell you not to eat fast food and tell you how to like work your core, so I'll take $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
Like, right.
He said Ty Lopez is probably one of those. I don't even know what happened to him. He's the read a book a day guy. He has like a Lambo in his garage. He has like a bookshelf and a Lambo in his garage. He's like, well, I'm Ty Lopez. He read a book a day, and that was his spiel, and you saw ads on him everywhere. And then he just.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it happens all the time. And typically the guys that blew up overnight are not the guys you want coaching on. Typically the guys where you can't vet their backstory are not the guys that you want coaching on.
Yeah.
Or coaching from. There was just a guy in Miami. It was a young 20-something kid, posed in front of a, you know, multi-million-dollar house, and was like in his Lambo, and, you know, I live the luxurious lifestyle, sign up for
he
my program.
He just leaned up against someone else's car in front of someone's house.
Yeah. It was like, and it wasn't even like a long-term lease. It was like a
one-monther?
Like a short-term rental, like an Airbnb type of thing.
That's funny.
Show you how to be rich. Sign up today.
Right.
$29.95.
And it's just like that happens all the time. And so like on marketing, you'll see this on marketing a lot.
Oh man. We're already an hour 15. You want to get into marketing?
Well,
we could do a whole nother show on it.
You get a lot of digital marketers douchebags. And a lot of SEO people that claim they can help you. But you know, my first SEO guy, he's a great guy. Phenomenal guy. It admittedly said, I've never done localized SEO. It's always national, but I can do your SEO. And I didn't know any better. So I'm like, sure. And at the time, I didn't need like the best SEO company ever, right? And sure enough, we had struggle after struggle after struggle. The guy was honest. The guy was transparent, everything. I still like the guy. Still use him, you know, for some other stuff. But it just didn't work, right? And now I vet the guys a little bit better, right? Well, yeah. I've changed up the guy who runs my ads for social media. And this newer guy, he does a lot with tree services. Has never done it with plumbing. And he and I were just having a conversation yesterday where he was like, you know, plumbing's different. And I'm like, yeah, you want to know why? And he goes, you know why? And I'm like, yeah, I knew why when I hired you. But you're a great guy. I like what you do. And I'm willing to work with you on this. You have skills I don't, but I have knowledge you don't.
Yeah.
Right. I said, plumbing, people don't need plumbing for months and months and months before they call a plumber. They wake up one day and they don't have hot water and they have to call a plumber today.
It's not a day-to-day service.
Right. Tree service. Your tree needs pruned for days, weeks, months, or years.
And you're putting it off.
And you're putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And finally, you get it done. Right? And so it's totally different. The window of opportunity to land in front of a plumbing customer is a blink. It's a fraction. Whereas tree service, roofing, decks, windows, siding. Like, nobody just wakes up today and all of a sudden needs siding, unless it's a hailstorm, and then it's your insurance is covered.
And most of the time, electrical, HVAC, plumbing, they're almost the same in that aspect.
Yeah. And so, you know, it changes the game a ton. And another thing that changes the game in plumbing is there's nothing that we do that you can't go buy at Home Depot, Lowe's, or Menards. And so that changes the game because now you bring in DIY into play, where you don't have that with HVAC, right? I can't go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and Menards and buy a capacitor or a TXV.
No.
Or a compressor.
You can get stuff to.
Or refrigerant.
Yeah, you can. Well, so capacitors, you can order everything online except for things that have to do with the refrigeration system.
Yeah.
Any parts you can get.
Right.
You can go to Home Depot and add runs to your basement if you want and do all. The only thing you can't get is refrigerant related parts.
Yeah.
And you can even get circuit boards. We pay about three times online.
Yeah.
Than what you can get at the supply house.
And so that's why I'm saying, like, as your marketers, don't just trust any marketer to come through under the sun. Make sure that they've marketed for your service before, because you're going to need it. Right.
Especially if you haven't, like, obtained the knowledge because you've been through three or four.
Yeah.
Like, if it's your first one, make sure they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a little experience in your field.
Right. Right. Like, I know what I'm getting into with this marketer. I like the way he operates. I like what he does, and I can help him through the plumbing side of things. I intentionally went with a guy who didn't do this industry because I want to learn the other industry benefits. Right. Like, if it works for tree guys, I can make it work for us. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
And so...
or at least gain a few things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So...
I'll give you that one.
I didn't go into it with, like, blind hope and blind faith. I went into it with, you know, I knew what the struggles were going to be because I've kind of been down that road before.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when you're taking advice from somebody, you want a decent mix, but you want most of your advice coming from somebody who's a little farther down the path than you. And you want a little advice coming from the top, right? It's okay to be inspired by the big wigs, right? I still listen to Andy Frisella's podcast all the time.
Inspiration and knowledge that you can implement are two different things.
They are.
Okay, so.
I still listen to Andy Frisella's podcast all the time. There's a couple of others that I listen to as well. But I don't know if I would trust Andy Frisella to help me grow my plumbing company. You know, I can still trust Andy Frisella to help me keep my moral compass in the right direction. I can still trust Andy Frisella for, you know, now that a lot of his podcast has gone political and current events and stuff like that. I can still trust him for
knowledge base.
Well, for a good instead of the media's twisted portrayal of an event, I can still trust him for his opinion of the event, kind of thing.
Until he's bought out.
Well, that's kind of his thing, is he doesn't get bought out.
Everyone has a price.
Yeah. We hope not. He's 500 or 600 episodes in on his podcast, and
damn, is he that many?
And he does not. Yeah, he uploads like three a week.
Are you telling me we have to do more? How many? What are we
on? An hour long.
What are we on?
This
today?
Is 162.
162 for those of you at home keeping score.
Yeah.
Good God, it's a lot.
But he doesn't have any sponsors of his show. He doesn't have anything like that. He literally just uses the platform to help people make money and make right choices in America. That's literally all he does with it. And I mean, so he owns First Form, which is a supplement. Yeah. He has like seven or eight different businesses.
Yeah. Let's not pretend like it's,
he owns supplement superstores. So like, obviously his stores get a benefit from his podcast because that's the way people can support him for putting out all the information that they put out.
For creating the content that he does.
Yeah. And let's be honest, most people that are trying to live the best life they can are dedicating a certain portion of their life to their fitness. And so, you know, if they got to buy their fitness products from somewhere, they might as well buy it from him. I use all First Form stuff. That's my way of supporting him in what he does, in my way of appreciating him for that. So, you know, we don't have anything to sell you other than a tradesman's membership, but other than that, like, we don't have anything to,
yeah, we've been putting this out for free for a long fucking time.
Yeah. So,
if you guys want to write me checks and mail them to my house, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be happy to take them.
That's going to wrap it up for this show. Just remember that where you get your mentorship from matters and how well you're going to be able to apply it. So, keep following guys like us. Jared Williams is another great guy that's similar to us. I'm sure if you listen to this show, you probably listen to his. He and I have never met in person. We've never actually talked. We've exchanged a few messages back and forth. It's possible we may work together on a podcast or something in the future. He seems like a pretty good guy. So, but you know, guys like us, guys like Jared Williams, if you're a plumber, those are great outlets to listen to for people that are just a little bit farther down the road than you, but then aren't at the absolute king, top dog, top 1% of the industry. So, until next week, guys, we will see you later. Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, David.
I heard that I may have created a monster.
You did.
Living in your house.
You did.
It's good. He needed something to do, man.
Yeah. You gave him some fish and stuff, and it's kind of like the Matchbox car addiction, you know, like yeah. It just starts with one.
Yeah. You just get one.
Yeah.
And you're like, eh. Literally, I took him to Bass Pro, right?
Yeah.
He took his own money, wanted to get lures, all this stuff. I don't know if I've ever seen a kid so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because I asked him, I said, have you ever been in there and looked around? Well, yeah. I said, have you ever like really looked around? Well, no, not really. We go down there, like his eyes were like half dollars. He's like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? They literally have like 2,200 square feet of just fishing lures.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what do I do? I was like, well, we're going to look at all of it. We'll like walk around and then we'll start over. Okay. Okay. All right. So there's this one thing, like you go down there and they have their like all their little discount lures in a bin. It's like $2.99, right?
Right.
He's looking at them. He's like, these don't look real good and this and that. So we go over to where the real crankbaits are and they're like $11.99. He's like, let's go back over and look at those ones that are $2. I was like, dude, yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, you will break the bank here in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm glad though.
And he'll break the bank in like 5 minutes on the bank.
Yeah.
Whenever he takes one of those $12 lures and first cast wraps it onto a tree branch or something.
I told him, like, we were looking at the expensive one. He was like, well, I think I like this. I was like, what would you do if you threw this in and then, like, broke it off? He's like, I'd be really mad. Yeah. I was like, maybe we should go back and look at, you know.
Look at the cheap ones.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
Maybe he's found something he can do for a while. I know he was into skateboarding for a long time and loved that, kind of gave up on that.
Yeah, he's kind of he's like his mama. He's a professional quitter. You know, he gets heavy into something and then just decides he's done.
Yeah.
So.
You know, you say that, but he's a kid.
Right, right. Like I don't mind it.
He's trying to find new things that he's interested in, right? So maybe one of them will stick. I don't know. I think it's great getting kids outside.
Going and attacking all the ponds that I used to fish as a kid.
Yeah.
That's been pretty fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Those ponds are a lot smaller than you remember.
I was going to say, they're not smaller. They're just smaller than you remember.
Yeah.
Like, they're the same.
I remember this pond was, like, when I was a kid, this pond was enormous. Yeah. And now it's like, I can cast all the way across this thing.
Yeah, well, don't say anything to him because he's just, you know, he's just out there having a good time. Yeah, he sent me all these screenshots of, like, ponds around my house.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, what about this one? What about this one? I don't pond fish. I'm like, I was like, you're going to have to ask permission no matter what. Well, do I? Like, yes. Yeah. You're going to have to ask.
Well, and so the first one.
I told him all the ones to go to. So.
The first one that he wanted, I told him who owns it and it's Colonial Gardens. And so I said, do you need to go ask permission? And he's like, well, will you come with me? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That is all you, right?
Yeah. You got to learn, man.
And I didn't tell him this, but I'm like, they're probably more likely to give you permission than me.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know? And so he walked into Colonial Gardens and he asked who he needed to talk to about getting permission to fish in their pond. And they said, they don't have the authority to grant that. Let me find somebody. He found somebody. And the guy says, anytime you want to fish in my pond, you can.
Nice.
And so he caught a couple of fish too.
Nice.
But yeah, he's
growing experience.
Yep. He's having a lot of fun.
Like having to go up there to a stranger as a kid, like someone that's quote unquote in charge and powerful.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. You're like, you know, nuts are in a vice.
Yep.
Trying to squeeze out words. That's good. Good for him.
I didn't miss my opportunity as a kid because, you know, since you're young and cute people will give anything, I miss the opportunity. I could have gone up and been like, can now I you're have $85?
Now you're old and greasy.
You go up to people, can I have a brand new fishing rod? Can I have $85? Like, literally, you could have gone around, you could have knocked doors and be like, hey, I need a sled for snowing, but I don't have one.
Yeah. it's totally different when you're older. You don't, like, that. You know, there's that saying, would you rather have $1 million or the knowledge you have now when you were like 15?
Right.
You're like, oh no, the knowledge. Like, do you know what I'd be doing? I mean, I would just like go back in time and just like, I'd be worth $50 billion.
Yeah.
Like, just,
I don't know. That's kind of a hard thing though. Cause like,
but then your life's different.
Well, it depends if you have all the knowledge right now, because it's like, okay, I don't have to go back, but if I can have this money and I have the knowledge, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to, like.
The older you get, the more difficult it is, too.
Yeah. It's like if you said $1 million today or go back, you know, 5 years with the knowledge you have today.
I'd take the million for five. I'm talking, could you go back to, like, 21?
Right.
Like, I'm going back to 21.
21 years old?
Does that
mean? 21 years old, not 21 years ago.
Do you go back with the maturity? Oh, that'd
be basically the same. Yes.
Because there's a lot of things
you know
where,
everything you know now, and you have the same aptitude you have now.
Because so you can be smart in college, but also you give into peer pressure, and you don't realize that, like, your friends are stupid.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you get that back, or do you go in and just be mature?
No, you're just mature. Part. You're just mature. Dude, at 21, if I could go back and be me.
I'm usually taking the money on most of those weird scenarios.
I'm not taking the money.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Would you rather fight a bear the size of Austin, or would you rather fight an Austin the size of a bear?
An Austin the size of a bear. I know Austin. Bears are trying to kill me. Like, you know,
I punched you that one time, and it took you off guard.
It caught the wind out of me. That's for sure. Full transparency, I asked him to, because my ribs were hurting so bad. I was like, dude, you got punch me.
Punch
like,
me.
I'm trying to pop that thing back. That was before I ended up going to the chiropractor and having all that work done.
Yeah.
It worked. After I caught my air and everything, the next day, it felt better.
Yeah.
But he hits pretty hard. But yeah, I don't want to fight a bear.
Well, there's people that have that. They have that, like, they don't look strong, but that psycho strength, just randomly, why are you that strong?
Sometimes.
You get hit, and it's like.
This conversation is taking a weird turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a funny story about that, but I don't know if it's appropriate. Okay, on the show. Well,
save it for another time. We know it's
if it's appropriate for this show.
If Austin thinks it's inappropriate, it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate.
So no, I will tell my friend.
Oh, so he
had,
just oh, yeah, I'm just going to let it out. There we go. Okay.
My friend had an autistic brother, and apparently,
here we go.
People with autism have crazy strength.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So we were playing around with him, and he was taking my friend and us and just launching us across the room.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, like, just whatever
it
is.
You know the
autism.
Non-PC term for that, right?
On the spectrum.
No. Non-PC term.
Non-PC, yeah.
Are you going to get us in trouble?
They call that retard strength.
Oh, no, that's not. We're not getting in trouble for that.
We were just so, like, we had a kick out of it. Like,
they
really
didn't know.
We was actually in the lobby of a sanctuary of a church, and my friend was laughing, and he was just thrown.
Like, dude, I'm telling you. Do you remember Rick Whiting I used to work with for a while? Mm. He cut metal at Air Design. I think you were actually working at the bike shop at this time.
Yeah.
Anyways, he married a gal and she had a son with Down syndrome. Dude, that kid was like 10 years old and strong as an ox.
Yeah.
Like, he was a beast, man.
There's a guy, I don't work out at
like,
Planet Fitness
impressed.
Anymore.
I was like, dude.
There was a guy at Planet Fitness that was, had a disability of some kind. I don't know what. But man, that guy was jacked.
Yeah.
I mean, jacked. It looked like he had like a mild form of Down syndrome, maybe.
You got any more weights?
And,
like, he's just looking like stacking them on.
Oh, I mean, he was just built.
Yeah.
And he was not heavy at all.
Yeah,
he was ripped.
You're fucking brick shit houses, man. Just stone cold.
I keep yawning today. I don't know why.
It's the weather. It's been raining for like 3 days, finally.
I know.
Man.
So.
I know. Luckily, it looks like it's going to stop. I'm going down to that fishing tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Get out of town for a few days, you know.
There you go.
It's going to be fun.
Getting gloomy outside.
Take my brother with me. Hoping he doesn't try to get me too drunk.
Take plenty of weights and shove them in the fish when you catch them?
Nah.
Nah? You don't want to get on TikTok?
I'm not a douche, you know? I mean,
I don't care to win that bad.
Yeah, people will argue with me about being a douche, but I'm not that big a douche, you know? Like, it's a fishing tournament.
You're a douche. You're not a cheater.
Yeah. Yeah. Get it straight.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not a racist. I'm a bigot. I hate everybody.
Yeah, I hate everyone the same. I hate, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
So I posed a question on Facebook this morning and got some input from my followers anyway.
I saw.
And
that was good.
The question is, where do you take your mentorship from? Do you take it from the best to have ever done it? Or do you take it from those that are a little bit farther down the path than you are? And most people tried to come up with some hybrid answer of both. And some people were kind of vague and saying,
I didn't read them.
Always start, you know, always learn. Take information everywhere you can. And
people that give cliche answers regardless of what the question is drive me insane.
Yeah.
It's like, well, don't be an idiot. Yeah. Just like speak truth.
Yeah. But most of the people on there were saying that the best who have ever done it are so far down the road that they're where you take a guy that's done this for 30 years, 20 years, and he's at the top of his game. The industry is completely different today than it was 30 years ago. And so that guy's going to try to lead with advice that he did 30 years ago.
That wouldn't even.
That doesn't really even apply today.
Be applicable today. Yeah.
Yeah. 30 years ago, everyone was on time and material. Now they're on flat rate. 30 years ago, yellow pages and white pages was king. And now everything's on the internet. 30 years ago, social media didn't exist. And now it does. You know, it's always been a tough market to find good help. That's just people have been saying that forever, and they'll always say that forever. And ones who usually scream it the most are the ones that are usually the worst leaders. The main focal point of that was to say, like, yeah, it's nice to go listen to your Tommy Mellos and your Victor Rancors and your mega coaching groups and your your big guys. In the industries, but we talk about it in the first 9 episodes of this show, which if you're newly listening to this show, the first 9 episodes of the show are, we call them our core episodes, and they cover the 6 core adversities that you need to overcome in order to start your business. So check those out. Forgive us, because if you think we suck at podcasting now, just wait till you see those first 9. We really suck.
I've been wanting to go back. But literally, I don't want to be crushed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my ego to be crushed.
Look how far we've come, right?
Yeah. That's what I want to take from it. Like, look how great. But the whole time I'd be like, this is the most embarrassing moment of my life right now. Like, sitting in my office watching those first 9, I'm out. I just can't bring myself to do it, man.
But, yeah, we talk about it in those first 9 about how some of those guys have some great stuff. But because they're leading teams of hundreds of people and they're doing 10s and 20s and 30s and 50s of millions in revenue every year, like, they're doing more revenue in a month than you'll do in a year. They're doing more revenue in a week than you'll do in half
of
a year sometimes. You know, you take a company that's doing $65 million in revenue. What is that? I just smacked
easy,
my mic.
Buddy.
What?
You okay?
65 million
times 12
divided by 12, that's 5.4 million each month.
That's 1.3 a week.
That's $1.25 million a week
that's
in
a
sales
lot.
So you take a company that's doing 65 million in revenue, and their weekly revenue alone is what a lot of our listeners are like aspiring to one day hope to do in a year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start my one-man show. I'm going to be chucking a truck for a little while. I'm going to try to do everything right. I'm going to hang my shingle out there, put my name out there, stake my claim. Maybe 1 year. Maybe 1 year I'll do a million.
Yeah, I just...
And these guys are doing 1.25 million each week.
I hate to ever focus all my attention or take information from people that are in the top 15 or the bottom 15%. You know what I mean? Because it's like grading on a curve, right?
Yeah.
That top 15%, those people that are doing even those people that are doing 15 mil a year, a lot of them at the time are in the right market. They started their business at the exact right time when there was a real demand for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are outliers beyond their, and I'm not saying they're not great by any means, but there are things that are outside of your control that dictate ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, a guy was a real go-getter and knew what he was doing, but got in a market that there's not a big population. There's a lot of other plumbers there, HVAC guys. And he fell to the wayside because there just wasn't a demand for his service, right?
High poverty level.
Yeah.
We got one of those guys in Tradewinds. It's in an area where there's a lot of poverty, and so he has a hard time
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yeah, so I try not to ever go hard one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, because realistically, that's not for everyone. What we focus – like what we – I didn't know this was going to be a Tradewinds talk, but like what we focus on in Tradewinds is what can you realistically do, mm-hmm. what is under your control, and then how do you do the best with that?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is all – those aren't outliers.
Right.
You know, those aren't at the top. Those aren't at the bottom. That's – you're in the middle of the road. How do we make you the top 10% of the middle of the road, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would say – like, I would say you probably, same idea that you have, my percentages would be a little bit different, though. Like,
yeah, I just threw them out there.
I want to be learning from the top 15% guys, but I don't know if I want to be learning from the top 1% guys. So, as most of you know, we talk about, it's no secret, I used to be a part of Apex, and I'm not anymore. Left on great terms, no bad things or anything like that. I just felt like it wasn't for me anymore. But I had a couple of opportunities to chat one-on-one with Ryan Stuman. And we were talking business and everything else. And you just realize very quickly that he is on such a different level than a, you know, 10-employee home service shop that it just doesn't compare. It doesn't compute. Now, some of the stuff that he's talking about is definitely stuff that you want to put on the horizon, things where you're going to get into, but it's not tactical information that you're going to be able to
implement
and deploy immediately when you get home from that trip. And I think you see that a lot in a lot of these top dog type conferences, right? Well, I've gone to a couple of the Profit Rocket conferences, that's led by Victor Rancor, and it can be kind of hard to have talks like this. Without making it like we're not bagging on these big guys.
No.
You know, Victor Rancor is amazing. Ryan Stuman's amazing. They're all great at what they do. It's just,
can you take what they do and implement it the exact same way they do?
Right.
No, probably not.
That's
the talk.
Yeah, I've followed up enough with Victor after he sold his business in California. The guy that bought it wasn't able to repeat what Victor was doing. And that business is like half the size that it was when Victor sold it to him.
Yeah.
And Victor was considering putting himself in a position to like buy it back and build it up again. And instead, I think he bought an HVAC company down in Texas and is building that one up. But there's a level of dog in somebody, a level of fight that results in that type of growth. And if I don't have it and you don't have it and Austin doesn't have it, then there's no point in any of us trying to learn from a guy that's using that as their main driver of success.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, and we, you know, I don't know if we've ever touched on this or not, but a lot of it is the amount of risk that you're willing to deal with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some guys will literally put every penny they have and that they have worked for 10 years out on the line and not give two shits if they have to start completely over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Other guys, they don't have that risk. What is it? Management, I guess. They don't want to put it all out on the line.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm not saying that that's good, bad, indifferent. It's just sometimes to get to those levels, you literally have to risk it all.
Yeah.
I'm not one. Let's be honest. I'm not one of those guys.
Right.
I've worked really hard to get where I'm at. I'm not going to take, you know, my nest egg and be like, okay, I'm going to go buy this company because I think I can make it work. And I'm just not going to do that. Even if I think I can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't have that. I want to say ignorance, but that's not the right word. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't have that.
It's
function.
I mean, it's a
word that's out of my normal dictionary.
Well, I don't know how to Google outside, it for you. Yeah.
You can call it a bunch of things.
Yeah, you can.
But ultimately, it's just the willingness to get it done, right? You're not willing to risk it. And so.
Like, and it's weird because I would literally, I'm literally willing to work as hard as I have to work to make something happen,
mm-hmm.
but not at the risk of what I've already done. Like,
right.
Buffett said it best. The return of my money is more important than return on my money.
Yeah.
I'm more of one of those guys.
Right.
And I don't care. I'm looking at the top. Regardless of the risk, I'm looking at the top no matter what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just not that way.
I've heard it said quite a few different ways, but basically in the entrepreneur world, your level of success will be directly determined by the amount of financial pain you can withstand.
Yeah.
And
same thing.
It's the same thing, right? If a guy's got $300,000 to his name.
Yeah.
House, cars, everything.
Yeah.
Right. And he's willing to put everything and he's worked his life for that 300.
Yeah.
And he's willing to put his entire life's work on the line for something. If it works out, he deserves a payday because well, not too many people out there are willing to put your entire life's work on the line.
Yeah.
Right? Now, because the flip
side. It could end up in zero and now you're starting at square one.
Right.
Like
now, the flip side is if your entire life's work is, you know, $4,000 and that's all you have to your name, well, you can still get the same percentage of a payday, but it's not going to be $1 million payday like the $300,000 guy. Might get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to explain to like keep it in perspective, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying earlier too about like that's why I don't look at the top whatever the percentage is 1%, 10%, whatever, because you just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, did they get lucky with that $300,000 and to get there? Was it $300,000 and they knew what they were doing to get there?
Yeah.
You know, it's like grading on a curve in school.
Well, unfortunately, this happens a lot in big business. I find more examples of it happening than not happening. Unfortunately, in big business, the way you get rich is you simply fuck people over. There are big, big deals, $100,000, $500,000 deals that happen. And somebody's pocketing all the money and doesn't pay their bills and they walk.
It happens.
And that's how they get wealthy.
I've seen it happen.
It happens all the time. It happens in small business too.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we talk about it on the show quite a bit about how general contractors love to see small one-man shops come around because they know that they can get them for something.
Yeah.
People,
it's amazing to me, the older I get, the more I see people quote unquote, get off on that. Like, oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it drives them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to take advantage of this guy and I'm going to put an extra $10,000 in my pocket and, you know,
yep.
And it's almost like they do it intentionally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I hate. That might be another topic for another day.
We got stiffed by a landlord here recently, that I have no doubt entered the entire arrangement with the intention on not paying their bill.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
They called with no hot water. We showed up and we were on site within 75 minutes of their phone call to us. And we had their hot water back on in 75 minutes.
What was it?
The water,
I'm just curious.
The water heater was just out.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't find anything wrong with it. We assume that maybe the pilot light didn't get relit or didn't stay on after a gas service changeover because it was a rental property.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know, so they had to turn off the gas, change it over.
Yeah, a bunch of air in there. Lit it real quick, lit up. They walked away, went out.
Who knows? But we couldn't find anything wrong with it, tested it, diagnosed it, everything. And so we have our $89 service charge. We have a minimum repair charge of $133.
So $89,
$133. Yep.
Okay.
Cheap. It might be, I don't know. The total bill was $233. So maybe whatever. It's $123 or something. I don't know.
Don't get lost in semantics.
But ultimately, she refused to pay the bill, demanded to talk to the owner. This is highway robbery. You were only here for a few minutes.
Dude, you can't get me in a truck and drive over to your house for that.
Right.
Like, right. And we're time. Best friends.
And,
like,
and so,
it's $200
and then
bucks.
When she's booking the call, she gives us her email. And then whenever we were trying to get paid, we're like, we just emailed you an invoice. And she's like, I don't have email. Bullshit. You just gave us, like, how do you own 10 rental properties and not have an email address?
Yeah.
Right.
So just a piece of shit.
Oh, she's just a royal piece of shit. But that's unfortunately how some people get rich is they literally get rich by stealing from other people.
Yeah.
Right. And if there's anything I hate more than anything else in the world, it's a thief. I've been stolen from 3 times in this house.
This house has been broken. I know the one time
we got robbed blind one time.
Well, I wouldn't say blind, but a few guns, a TV.
All more guns. They left me my 812 or 870 shotgun.
No one wants one of those. They're a dollar. No offense.
They left that, stole everything else, stole all the TVs, stole my kids' toys.
I don't remember taking the kids' toys at the time.
Stole our mattress. And
who takes a fucking mattress?
I was wondering the same thing, and the cops were like, they throw it in the truck and they throw the TVs on it. They steal your mattress to protect the TV.
That actually makes a lot of sense. See, but, I'm not a good crook. I didn't know that trick.
Yeah.
Now you are.
And so then we've left our garage door open on two occasions and had stuff walk out of our garage. And I mean, there's not much that gets under my skin more than a thief. And so, I despise any business that gets rich off of stealing from people. Like, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And, one of my Facebook friends, I've seen the guy at conferences before. We've exchanged a few words. I would not call him an acquaintance. He posted a picture yesterday of, it was like an infographic that was basically explaining a scenario. I don't even know if this is true or not, but,
I'm intrigued.
It's basically a guy that was like, applying to Harvard Business School, and it was $100 application fee. And he got his letter back from Harvard Business School, and they declined his application.
Kept his $100 though.
And so then he logged into his bank real fast and found that they had not deposited the check yet. And so he put a stop payment on the check. And then they called him back wanting to know what was up with the application fee payment. And he says, "Sounds like I could teach you a few things about business." And on one hand, there's part of you that's like, yeah, stick it to the man, right? The big corporation, the Harvard Business School. But on the other hand, they're not going to miss the 100, but that says a whole lot more about your character than it does theirs. You know what I mean? You agreed to pay the $100 application fee. And just because you got declined, you agreed to pay it, whether you were approved or declined. And then you let your emotions get involved when you were denied entry.
Yeah.
And now you're stealing money back from them that is rightfully theirs. You know what I mean? That's the bullshit that I can't stand.
That's a thief. Oh, that's a bad example because it's a thief against a thief in that case.
Kind of.
They're both crooks.
Right. Well, I get why Harvard has an application process and an application fee, because if they didn't, they'd have millions and millions of applications to go through. And people that know they won't get accepted, know they won't even graduate the program, but they're just wasting everybody's time by applying. And so they're qualifying their applicants by charging that fee up front. It's no different than a home service company that charges a trip charge.
Oh, that's what I mean by bad example. Like, and this is a very specific example. Harvard has enough money that they could take applications for 50 million years and not, you know what I mean? It's not a service-based industry as in, if I don't collect these fees, we'll go under.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? You're qualifying customers based on the needs of the business. They're doing it to, oh man, I can't believe I'm going to say this. They're probably doing it for greed alone.
No, like, it's not greed.
They don't need to qualify them because they have so much money, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Literally everyone in America could send in an application and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
I mean?
And who knows if that story is true or not? Who knows what their application
is? I know. That's why
it's
a weird example.
But just the high level overview of the thing is people who agreed to pay something and then when it didn't turn out the way they wanted, they now want to cancel their payment.
Yeah. The home service example is way better.
But meanwhile, everything turned out exactly as it should. It just wasn't the outcome they wanted. And so in home service, where we get that is people who agree for a price.
Yeah.
And then the job gets done faster than they thought it should.
Yeah.
And now they get upset. Meanwhile, they got everything else they wanted, right? They got the high quality. They got the great repair. They got the timely service. They got the warranty.
Yeah.
They got everything.
Yeah,
but if it gets done faster than they expected, now they turn into animals to get kind of vengeance.
Well, and I like the first part of that analogy of like the guy agreed to pay the $100.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Right.
Like, he has no one to blame but himself.
Right.
Like,
right.
Sack up.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I mean by thief on thief. Both of them should be, like, persecuted.
Right.
Like, you know? I mean, just...
Well, and so, like, unfortunately, a lot of evil breeds evil.
Like, it's just...
Ugh. A lot of big businesses do that, right? So, like, Tommy Mello is another one that's a great example for this. Tommy Mello's great. I've met him a few times, chatted with him a little bit. He's definitely on the spectrum of some kind. I don't know if he's on the spectrum for autism or if he's
Asperger's.
Got Asperger's or like he definitely has insane ADHD. Insane. And so he's found a way to channel that.
It's hard for me to even talk to those people.
It is.
Because I'm just like, dude.
Yeah.
Like fucking have a Valium.
Well,
like, relax.
When
man.
You're
like,
having a conversation
shit.
With them, it's hard to understand how that type of person is so successful. And it's because their brain is processing things at a much faster rate than anybody else's. And so like, I get it. Right.
Yeah.
But
I get it. They're processing instead of doing two or three things at a time, they're doing five or six things at a time, which makes them double productive. That's the dumb man's way to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're doubling the time you have.
Right.
Is the way to think about it.
Yeah. And I mean, he did it right. He didn't get tied down with a woman and kids and everything when he was young. I don't think he's not even married yet. I think he's just got a girlfriend.
Get tied down with kids when he was young or a wife. Your wife doesn't listen to this.
Well,
dude.
I don't want to say do it right. Like I did it
she
wrong.
She just anchoring you to the ground.
I'm just saying if you have dreams of growing the biggest garage door company in the nation, you're going to be able to go a lot faster if you don't have a wife and kids.
Yeah.
Right.
This was the big thing when I played in all those bands, like everyone was, the whole deal was if you had a wife or if you had a wife and a kid, like you just weren't going to make it. I mean, you've got to travel.
Yeah.
You know, you're traveling 6-8 months a year.
Yeah.
For pennies.
Right.
Like it just doesn't work. And the whole thing is, well, you made that choice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it was your decision.
Yeah.
Same thing for him.
Yeah.
Like he decided,
yeah,
I'm going to focus here. I'm not going to do that.
When I say he did it right, I don't mean he's doing life right. I mean, he did business.
I know.
Right.
I'm just fucking with you a little bit. Mitch is on edge. You can always tell.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty calm. He's pretty calm.
Ish.
So Tommy Mello, Victor Rancor, Ryan Stuman, Andy Frisella, Ed Milet, trying to think of who else, Alex Hormozy. There's a lot of big names out there that have mentorship group like things.
Mm-hmm.
But they almost evolve more into big business networking groups than they actually do mentorship groups.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're in Tommy Mello's group, you're rubbing shoulders with other multi-million-dollar home service companies, owners from around the nation. You're not going to learn a lot from Tommy, maybe. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You might learn a lot from the $12 million guy in the room that's here to learn from Tommy. You might strike up a conversation with the $12 million guy and you're at $9 million.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn more from the $12 million guy than you will from the $60 million guy standing on stage.
Well, and it's kind of like what we talk about a lot in Trade Winds. Those guys that are in the group get as much from each other as they do from us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like being in the same room with those, with like minded individuals that are working to get to the, all trying to get to the same level.
Yeah.
Like they get from them as much as they get from us.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Just the fact that you can have your, how do I say this? You can have all of your questions answered by someone that is looking to do the same as you or as close to the same level as you.
Right.
even if it's just to, you know, reiterate what you're doubting yourself in.
Right.
You know, okay, I'm not doubting myself, but I'm trying to get to here. This guy's trying to get to here. He's backing up what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that, I think, is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you've learned some of that being an Apex. Like, when you were in Apex, you know, all those guys that were at the top end, like, you know, you paid to sit in the front row and get in the green room and all that, and then you're like, man, I'm gaining more knowledge from these guys that are here at my level or just above my level than I am from those people I came to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a total of 3 different $1 million masterminds. Maybe just 2.
I think you went to 3 or 4.
No, it was just 2.
It was just two.
The first one I went to, I went all out, front row, center seat, $5,000 ticket. The next one I went to, I didn't spend $5,000 for the entire trip, and I took my wife and one of our plumbers, and we bought the cheapest seats we could find. Yeah. And the idea was, the message is the same in the back of the room as it is the front row.
Yeah.
The speaker, there's no translation that happens halfway across that room.
No.
Right? There's no translation that lands differently in GA as it does in the VIP seating.
Yeah.
And I also learned at those events, if you're considering going to any events like that, the big events, it's kind of useless to do VIP if the event isn't ran properly. So, like, I paid for all this VIP backstage stuff. Well, all this, and you're supposed to be able to, like, they set it on there. You can get backstage and chat with all the speakers and have conversations with them and ask them all your questions and everything. They had no time for anybody.
Yeah.
They, like, nobody. It's not like I had to wait in line and they didn't have time for me. I mean, they got back off backstage and they were like, I got a jet to catch. See ya.
Yeah.
I exchanged, like, maybe 12, maybe 30 words with Sean Whalen. And, like, literally he came back with 3 words, and that was join Lion's Den, which is his mentorship group.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Fuck off.
Thanks.
The Kamala special.
Yeah. Do you look him right in the face and go, you know what this fucking ticket cost me?
Yeah.
God, you know, just.
The Kamala answer would have been like, well, I grew up in a middle class home.
No, the Kamala answer would have been like.
Yeah.
Just laugh.
Yeah.
Just laugh and deflect to some story of your childhood.
Man, I don't know what, like, this is off topic, but I don't know what list I've gotten on with my Yahoo email, but well, I've been getting.
For one, it's a Yahoo email, so they assume you're 60. Mm.
That's probably true. But
AOL.com.
I have like 4 fucking emails, okay? Cut me a break. But on that one, for some reason, all I'm getting lately are Democrat emails that are, but this is how they all start. I get 3 a day, probably. They all start, it's someone's name who's running in a county or state somewhere that's losing. It's all these big, we're not going to be able to compete with the MAGA Republicans. We need you to donate X amount of dollars. I'm like, how did I get on this list? It's insane, dude.
This is a sidebar from the topic of the show, but you want to know why the Democrats are always very successful in elections? Everyone's always astounded by this, and it's really fucking simple.
Got a good ground game.
No. The Democrats are sending out emails saying, we need your support, we're losing. Meanwhile, the Republicans are sending out all these infographics saying, we're winning by a landslide. You know what that does?
Makes people not vote.
That makes Republicans not vote and Republicans not want to donate money. And that makes every single Democrat under the sun, alive or dead, U.S. citizen or not, show up at the polls and vote.
You know what the only person that I have heard from? Which is weird. It hasn't been emailed. The only ads I'm seeing for Republicans is Donald Trump's ad on Facebook.
Yeah.
I see that. Hey, but it's like him. He's giving a spiel. If you would donate, you know, $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only one.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it from any of the guys in our freaking state.
I've never donated to
I didn't mean to get us off topic.
That's
but
right.
It just drives me insane.
I'll put the TradeWinds ad right where
that's
you
fine.
Yeah. You know what I think? If you like to do TradeWinds. Yeah.
That's good, dude.
I've never donated to a political campaign because I'm kind of against that.
Yeah, I think to be honest, it either there needs to be caps on everyone. Like, you should be allowed to donate X amount of dollars, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, you pick the candidates you really care about, and you can donate that money, and that's it.
Right, Right. I mean,
and that's all good for both sides.
For everyone. The same reason lobbyists are bad.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, if I want to run for president and I talk, you know, big giant organizations into giving me gobs of money.
Yeah.
That's obviously going to hedge my bets to win.
Yeah.
But now I have to do what those organizations wanted me to do. I got to vote this thing in. I got to vote that thing. Yeah, like,
I mean, you know, that's exactly
how that happens.
You don't have to, but that's how you stay in office.
It's so similar to sponsors on YouTube where it's like, yeah, I get this free phone to review for my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They didn't tell me what I had to say.
Yeah.
But you still kind of have that thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. They did give me a free phone, so I can't bash it.
But right? If I want to get the next phone next year to review.
Yeah. If I want them to give me one next year, I have to give them a good review. Right?
Yeah.
It's the same reason we turned down the Ford deal. Was because, well, I say we were going to turn down the Ford deal. They yanked it out from underneath us beforehand. But
they didn't yank it out.
They just wanted to script our YouTube videos and everything else, and we were like, no.
Yeah.
They ripped it out, and then they drove into a pole.
Yeah. Well, and then they filed bankruptcy 6 months later, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, fuck them.
Not Ford, but
fuck them.
One of their sister
Visor.
Companies. Yeah.
Lick my...
Ligma.
That's where the next commercial starts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen... The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Of course.
Whenever they have that crash, but they cut into that subway commercial,
as the car's rolling, yeah. And then it's a commercial. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they come back to it. What were we talking about?
So, like, the latest Tradewinds event that we had was we were very intentional about where we put that event down at the lake, give people time to have tons of conversations. It was not structured. It was very loosely structured. I don't want to say it was like chaos, but it was very loosely structured. The idea was create a condition for all of these like-minded business owners to converse amongst themselves. And we are obviously in that same group and just conversation flowing. And it was conversation flowing 24/7. And the guys that attended that event probably got more value from that event than anybody else. Right.
Probably.
You know, I went to an event one time where Ed Milet was speaking, and Ed Milet's got some great stuff. Right. But sometimes you get some arrogance about you, and he was doing like a self-motivation kind of thing. A talk on stage. I had heard this talk before.
Oh, that's even worse.
I heard it like a month before.
Parroted.
Yeah.
Teleprompter.
And so I had already heard it before. I already knew where he was going to get emotional. I already knew where he was going to get loud. I already knew where he was going to get loud and then pause for dramatic effect. And
did you just get up and leave?
No, I listened to it.
I've seen this.
I listened to it, but there were a couple of people in the room that were chattering amongst themselves, and it broke his focus. And they weren't loud. They weren't disruptive, but it wasn't all eyes on him. Pin drop kind of setting.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that. And so he called out these people from stage.
Yeah.
And he said, Hey fellas. And he like snapped at him, and he's like, you got a guy on stage that's worth $1 billion. I think I'd listen.
See, if I had been one of those guys that had heard that speech before, I'd have stood up and been like, I've already heard this speech.
Yeah.
Come up with something new.
Right.
And I'd have walked the fuck out.
Well, and the thing
that's why
is,
I don't go to stuff like that. Cause I'm just,
so it, his speech was about a book that he had ironically just released.
Of course it was.
Yeah. Called The Power of One More. And it was basically like, you can do one more. You always have more in the tank than you think you do.
Yeah. And you say that till you're on your deathbed. I can do one more year. No, you're dead, dude.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is like, when you have a guy on stage that's worth $1 billion telling you you've got more in the tank than you think you do, that rings differently than the guy that's at the $1 million level when you're at the $300,000 level telling you you have more in the tank than you think you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
And so that's why those guys were wanting to chatter amongst themselves, is because the guy is so successful. It's hard for him. I don't want to say it's hard for him to relate to people, but it's hard for people to be able to relate to him.
It's both. I'll give you both.
Yeah.
But like it just is. You just can't. I can't go up to Brad Pitt and relate to him as an actor. I can't do it, right? I can't go up to Ed Milet, like you were just saying, and be like, well, yeah, I know what it's like to be up here. You can't do it.
Right.
Until you're there, you can't do it. Proximity of success to people that you take mentorship from, regardless, is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Proximity is more important than rah-rah, hey, look at all these big names we have.
Right.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Proximity and actual success is more important.
Yeah, and with the digital day and age, so like big conferences and success groups and all of that stuff, they're kind of a popular thing, but they are kind of dying out a little bit. And the main reason why is because it's the same reason that I don't go to like plumbing conventions.
Yeah.
You know, like for plumbing, I don't know about these other conventions, but the big plumbing convention in the U.S. is called the WET Show. It used to be called the Pumper Show because they were talking about like sewer pumper trucks.
Yeah.
Austin's over there snickering.
Yeah, because he's a fucking child.
Pump it up. Yeah. That's the song I was thinking of, the pump it up.
No, now it's like the water and environmental treatment.
Of course it is.
It's WETT. I don't know what that acronym is. Yeah. But like there's no product there that I'm going to learn anything from that I can't learn on the internet.
Yeah.
I guarantee you every product that's there, every plumbing tool, every plumbing, anything that's there is out there on the internet. I can just go find it, research it, look it up, find it on a group.
Yeah.
Post it on a group, ask, hey, what do you think about it? Like I can do so much with the internet that I don't need to take up my time and drive to Indianapolis and go to that show. Right. Except proximity. Right.
Yeah.
Like, Roger Wakefield is a big personality in the plumbing world, right? He is one of the most licensed plumbers in the U.S. In regards to holding all of the licenses that you can hold.
Wish they'd just go to a national
thing. I know
all of them. HVAC, electric. I wish they just let's get over it. Come on.
But
too much money to be made.
I can follow him on Facebook. I can try to interact with his stuff. I can do all of that. But I met him in person through proximity. I was down at an Apex event, and there's a guy in Apex that's one of his really good friends that does a lot of video stuff for him, or used to. He doesn't do it anymore. And Roger Wakefield, I'm at an Apex event listening to a speaker, and I look off to my left, and I see a face that I recognize very well. It's Roger, and he's not even a member of Apex. I didn't even know what he was – like, he lives in Dallas – I didn't even know what he was doing.
He walked in there and was like, hey, I want to see what this is about. Can I get a seat? And they were like, yes.
That's exactly
what
it was.
Happened.
And they didn't know him from anybody, but his buddy let him in, right?
Yeah.
And so I just get up and I can't even remember who was speaking on stage. I ignored whoever it was.
Obviously someone shitty.
And no, it was just the opportunity to chat with Roger Wakefield. I wasn't letting that down.
You suck. I'm walking out of here.
And so I walk straight over to Roger and I'm like, I know you. Meet me in the hallway. And he was like, okay. And so we go out in the hallway and I'm like, now we can actually chat without defending them. Master plumber, followed you for years, do a lot of stuff on video. And he was like, oh yeah, we do video too. Like he's big on TikTok. He's real big on TikTok and we don't do anything on TikTok. But he was like, oh yeah, what kind of videos do you do? And I showed him a couple. And of course I go to my most popular video where we're explaining thermal expansion. Yeah. And immediate connection. He's watched the whole thing. He was like, that is hands down the best thermal expansion video I've ever seen.
That's not a short video either. It's a long video.
It's a long video, but he recognized it from the title and he recognized me at that point. Mm. And then he looks down at my shirt and he goes, you're the Fixed Pipes Pet Dogs guy and all of this stuff. And so he's seen me and I've seen him, right? And we quickly talked about possibly working together, but it's kind of different.
Yeah.
Like we have different goals and different visions and everything else, but we still respect each other, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so, but I guess the only, you know, in person at that seminar, I never would have met if I'd phoned in that seminar.
Yeah.
You know, if I did would the whole online webinar thing, because they always have a live camera in the back and you can always watch them online from home, right?
Like what else, like how bored am I?
I couldn't pay attention if I did that.
No, your ADHD is getting bad, yeah. Old man.
But, you know, so because of proximity, I was able to meet Roger Wakefield, right?
Yeah.
And I've met quite a few guys. I've, you know, met David Goggins, and, you know, quite a few other people like that just from the proximity. But the thing to take away from all that is I got more impact from the people I was sitting around than the people on stage.
Yeah.
Right. Sean Whalen was on stage and I go backstage to chat with him and he basically told me to fuck off. I mean,
that happens.
He didn't say it that way, but he was like, you know,
that's why
join my group, pay me for the information that you just asked me.
Yeah.
Right.
My patience is not as good.
Ed Mylett. So the first time I heard Ed Mylett speak,
I paid for this ticket, motherfucker.
the first time I heard Ed Mylett speak, was at that conference where I had the front stage, you know, front row, center seat, backstage pass. And I went back after Ed Mylett got off stage and he was the one who didn't have time for me and had to go catch a jet, but he did have time to sign the book. I had his book that he wrote. So, right. It's not worth anything.
I don't want to get off on a whole other thing here, but like, you know, we talk about all the time, your heroes, like don't meet your heroes, you know?
Yeah.
Like you've got that book. You love everything he said about and it's all great. And then you meet him and he signs your book and you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then 2 months goes by and you're looking at the book and you're like, how did this benefit me?
Right.
Did it benefit me at all?
Right.
To spend the money to do that, to do this, like what did I actually gain from this?
Right.
What perspective did I get? Sometimes it's nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, man, I think I might have wasted my time. Like, I've done this.
Yeah.
I might have just wasted my time.
Well,
you know,
like, we waste a lot of time.
Yeah, we do.
And some of it's intentional. Like, you go into these conferences knowing that you're going to waste a lot of time, but you're hoping for a couple of things that make it worth it. And
yeah, you're hoping for a couple of nuggets or a couple connections. And
yeah.
Oh, this is how, you know, and like proximity, before we get too far off, like proximity as in, amount of money earned also, I think is a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Not like just talking and being there and being part of it, but people that are at the same level that you're at,
yeah,
is just as important or just above it. Like when I say proximity, I mean, if someone is so far out of your stratosphere, you know, like we've been talking about the whole show, I think sometimes that's a waste.
Yeah.
The closer to you that they are, the more you will gain from them,
yeah.
I think, is what I want to say. And then once you reach that level and you're equal with them or a little above them, find another one that's just a little bit out of, you know, where you can then try to get to their level.
Imagine
you're,
if you
you're
went,
stepstoning, you yeah. know?
Imagine if you went
Stone
and stepping. Had dinner.
Ladder rung.
imagine if you went and had dinner with all of the top elites in Trump's entourage.
I'd be lost as shit.
You would have, like, you could admire the guy on the internet.
Yeah. I'd be lost.
But when he starts talking about all of the complex real estate stuff and the compounding interest and how he's acquiring money to fund these other things and TIFs and bonds and, you know, all of these things, you would be so fucking lost, right?
Yeah. And even if you understood it, as far as like, just for one example, if borrowing other people's money or getting them to sign on and then taking that money and then investing it, like even if you understood it, that doesn't mean that you're at the level of comfort where you could do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And,
right.
and even implement it and make it happen.
Yeah.
It's so far out of your field of view that it's just a waste.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking waste.
And that's where a lot of people burn out on the success group type thing is you get a guy who,
they're not in this right house.
So, well, here's the logical timeline of an entrepreneur, in the trades industry, an entrepreneur,
a successful one or one that wants to be an entrepreneur.
Doesn't matter.
Cause there's
an entrepreneur in the trades industries typically started out by doing the craft. right? You're a tile guy. You're a drywaller. You're a sheetrocker. You're a painter. Yeah. You're a roofer, a framer,
okay,
plumber, HVAC, electrical, whatever. Doesn't matter, right? And then you realize that I'm pretty good at this job, right? You get a lot of people that just fizzle out and they're working for Friday. You get other people, yeah, that are like, this is going to be my career. I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And so then they start gaining a little bit more confidence, and then they start having, everyone has that little question in the back of their mind. Could I do this on my own? Could, yeah, I stake my claim?
Let's be honest. That thought comes too early.
It does. It does.
I've been here 6 months. I can do this.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you don't realize how much leadership is actually helping you. Right.
Yeah.
Until you tell leadership to piss off and you go start your own company, and now you have nobody.
You're looking around
to
like,
lean
oh,
on
shit.
For advice.
Oh shit.
And so you clamor around for a couple of years, and you kind of like, you've replaced your income, maybe a little more, but you've lost that spark and that desire and that knowledge that you need to grow, because you lost your leadership when you walked away from the company.
You walked away at the plateau. Like, yeah, you reached your plateau.
Yeah.
Where do I go from here?
And so then you start catching a reel or an Instagram thing or a post or something from somebody on the internet that they're putting out so much content, they have a message that resonates with you at the time. Okay. Right now. Like, take right now, for example. Right now, it's Q3. Everything sucks in the home services space right now. Call volume's down right now. Nobody wants to buy.
It's an election year.
It's an election year. Like, it is just fucking tough, right? So what's happening right now? Marketing agencies are pumping out ads like crazy, acting like they can solve your problems.
No.
And no, they can't.
No.
Right? It doesn't matter.
No matter how great you are at marketing, if the call volume's not there because people don't want to spend the money,
right,
no one can help you.
Right.
No one can help you.
We are right now, for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we have been the number one contractor, top of the list on Google LSA. And it's only netting us like 6 phone calls a day.
That's tough.
Okay. Top of the list in an area with millions of people. Top of the list. And it's just, only getting us, yeah, 6 phone calls a day. There's just not that many people needing work right now.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Or wanting to spend money.
Wanting to spend money.
Right.
Like, the emergencies, that's what the 6 calls are.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I have to do this or else, you know.
We had a guy call us on Google LSA today. Keep in mind, I pay $62 every time they call us. Called us. I paid $62.
I'm going to start calling through LSA.
Answer the phone.
With him.
And the guy says, I need a new sump pump. I got quoted $1,000. If you can beat it, you can get it. Hey, as luck would have it, we're under 1,000. We're good. He calls back 20 minutes later.
This guy said he'd do it for 900 now that I said that.
Yep.
You can kiss my ass, bud. Right.
And
my
price is the same. He's literally just phone shopping.
Yeah.
But he's calling everybody through LSA. So he got like...
Oh, so he cost you...
He probably got Google... He probably earned Google $16. More money than any of these contractors are ever going to earn selling him a sump pump. Because he called somebody, called us twice.
That sucks.
Right now, Google should filter the second one out. They will absolutely charge us for the first one. They should filter the second one out. We'll see. But
now that they're gonna,
he called back again and canceled.
Oh, canceled. He didn't come back around to try to get you down for.
What if you don't answer it? Like, if you know it's the same number, you're like, just wait for the voicemail. Does that count?
You in a home service business, you never intentionally not answer your phone.
Like, even if you know it's the same guy, and you're like, well, I want to pay $62.
If you've scheduled a call, you have to answer it, because what if the guy's going to be there later? What if he needs to reschedule?
You don't understand how technology works.
Answer the phone.
You know it's him, but you don't know if he called through Google LSA or not.
Gotcha.
So technology monitors that phone call. We don't know until we answer the call and it says, this is a Google call.
Okay.
And so that's how
there's no way to know unless it's okay, right.
To contradict Mitch's point, I have intentionally not answered the phone because I know who those people are. I'm like, fuck those people.
Saying,
we all want to pretend like we're above it. You know, like, oh, I'm not going to, I answer everything. I'm tactful. I used to be like, oh, I know that. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like, I would just assume, like, I don't know if it's Google, but it's the same number that just called me. Like,
keep in mind too, you don't want to play games with Google. If you're paying them to try to get ads and you start playing games with them, they see it and they're like, fuck you. I'm going to give these leads to somebody else.
Yeah.
So you have to behave a certain way to get to the top ranking
spot.
If
a business is just not answering phones, they're going to, like, there's like some algorithm that goes through that's like, well, I'm not going to give.
What's Google's job?
To make money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not allowing them to make money, they're going to shift the call to somebody else that is allowing them to make money.
Yeah.
And so
like this, I don't want to get off topic again. We're almost out of time, but like, that's why we tell people to market for themselves.
Yeah.
And be on Facebook and get word of mouth calls. That's like the number one thing we teach in TradeWinds.
Right.
Because then you don't even have to fuck with that stuff.
Right.
So, right. I mean, people don't like, it's amazing to me. And we've had some guys come and go in TradeWinds for sure that were this way, but they would rather pay $62 per call, talk to that person three times, than spend 5 minutes running their own Facebook ads a day.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? It's just, I still cannot figure out why. I don't know if it's laziness, if it's a lack of them wanting to put themselves out there. You know, they get out of TradeWinds pretty quick, like, because we challenge them pretty hard. But yeah. It's just like, why would you be so stupid?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I just, and so arrogant. Why would you want to pay? Dude.
Yeah, a word of mouth referral is the best lead you can get because they already know you, they already like you, and they already trust you.
Insane to me, man.
So, yeah.
Fucking insane.
And that's part of why we have a lower conversion rate with these Google calls, is because they're calling a company that they didn't know. They don't know if they like, and they don't yet trust.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's a shot in the dark every time you answer the phone.
Top on Google. And so
from SEO,
you're trying to build no like and trust from the ground up, from the phone call.
Yeah.
Instead of, my neighbor really loves you and I admire my neighbor, so I trust their opinion.
Yeah.
That gets you so far. Like, word of mouth referrals get you so, so far in business.
Google.
And if you're a one man shop struggling for work right now,
that's probably on you.
It's got to be like, you got to nail the word of mouth referral game.
I'm sorry. It's probably on you. You're either.
Well, if you,
it could be 100 million different things.
If you are a one man show and struggling for work right now, go back to episode 36 of this show. That's where we talk about my full playbook on how we get Google reviews. And Google reviews are a byproduct of delivering a world-class level of service that gets you word-of-mouth referrals.
Yeah.
If you can condition a customer to give you a Google review, they've already done the behavior of giving you a referral, they are twice as likely to give you a word-of-mouth referral in the future.
Yes.
So that is massive if you can get the word-of-mouth referrals. So the parameters of this show, and it was kind of confirmed by social media. I felt like the answers were going to go that way, but I wasn't sure. You never really know.
Social media, you never know what people are going to say.
Right, right. But as a whole, I would say, like, everyone's going to be different. For me, I want like 10 or 15% of my learning coming from the top of the top of the top, the best who have ever done it. But I want 85% of my learning to come from the guys that are just a little bit farther down the path than me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to resonate a lot more with 80, you know, with what they're saying than top of the top.
You're able to implement most of what they're saying because they're close enough to you that you can handle it on a mental level, on a financial level, on an actually having the time to get that stuff done.
Right.
You know, it just, it's more, this is kind of how we say it in TradeWinds too. It's more realistic to be just a little bit better than above average than it is to try to get to the top 1%.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Like baby steps are what it takes. Like that's the realistic plan to get to where you want to go. There's not going to be a leap. There's not going to be a jump. And I mean, unless it's just an outlier, it's going to take a little at a time.
Have you ever seen, Mythbusters did this. A couple other people have proved it. Have you ever seen it's a physics experiment. They have two balls on two ramps.
Okay.
And one ramp.
Are these like huge or are they just like bowling balls?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
One ramp is at a 45 degree angle straight.
Okay.
The other ramp is steeper than a 45 and then it levels out. And then it's steeper than a 45 and then levels out. And then it's steeper than a 45 and then levels out.
Okay.
And the question is,
do they end at the same level
the
eventually?
The question is the ball, which ramp is going to lead into the ball getting to the end faster, right? The curved ramp is longer. The ball has a much longer journey on the curved ramp than the straight line between two points, right? Picture a square.
Yeah.
You go diagonal from corner to corner. That's one ramp.
Yeah.
The other ramp is S-shaped over and over and over all the way down. Which ball do you think lands first?
It's got to be the S one.
It is the S1.
Because if it's steeper at those other times, it's moving faster at that rate.
Right. And then it carries its momentum along the flats, and then it moves faster to the again. Next and then it carries its momentum and then moves faster, right?
Yeah, that's just common sense to me.
So the comparison...
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, the comparison there is a lot of people... Now take those ramps and turn them upright. Okay? We're defying gravity for a minute. But if the logic was the straight line between two points you thought was faster, but it's actually slower... Now, when you turn those up like a graph that's rising, that's how business grows. You grow real steep.
Oh, that's good, dude.
And then you plateau for a minute.
Yeah.
And then you break the plateau and you grow real steep and you get to another level and then you plateau for a minute. A lot of people think business growth is straight line linear.
No.
I did 1 million this year. I did 1.2 million. Then I did 1.4. Then I did 1.6. And then I'm going to do 1.8. And then I'm going to do 2.
And that could be true for the year, but most of it's quarterly based. You know what I mean? First quarter I did that. I should be looking at it every quarter. Well, guess what? One quarter may be down.
My first year in business, we did 150 grand in revenue. My second, we did 779. And my third, we did 1.2 million.
Yeah, that's a linear straight line
up. That's pretty straight up.
Yeah.
But then we did 1.4, and this year we're going to do 1.6.
Pretty flat.
Pretty flat. We've kind of plateaued, right? I was at a lunch today with somebody who said, what do you think the next plans are for your business? And I said, we are so close to doubling in size, and it's going to happen like that. Like, I know the problems that I still have left to fix in my business, and once I fix those problems, we're going to go from 1.6 to 3, like a light switch. And people are going to go like, my God, they grew.
What happened? Cut benefits.
They're going to think something just popped up overnight.
You show up next Tuesday, I'm just not here.
Yeah. They're going to think something just popped up overnight. But what it was all of the building and all of the lessons and all of the learning that happens during the plateau.
Yeah.
Right? Let's take some football analogies for a second.
Oh, here we go.
Bengals right now are 0-3. We had Monday Night Football last night. They just lost their third game in a row.
Shit, too.
They're not doing well, right?
Steely's a Bengals fan, too. I feel bad for the kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. You know, they're not looking good. However, they're still a championship caliber team.
Nope.
Okay?
I will disagree with that, but go ahead.
Caliber.
Nope.
They're not a championship team because they don't have a championship.
Nope.
But they're up there.
Are they?
And so everyone, you know, the short-minded people, the short-sighted people are thinking, oh, the Bengals are cooked this year. Everyone else knows they were learning lessons through these first three losses that people are going to figure out real quick, right?
They're learning lessons like, if all my top wide receivers in the league are not playing, Joe Burrow looks like shit.
Yeah, this is true.
Like,
he still got Chase. But...
sorry, Steely. If you're listening, buddy, I'm sorry.
But, I mean, the Chiefs are the same way, right? And that's why you get teams that lose the easy games and win the hard games is because... They're plateauing at weird places, and they're putting the work in when it needs to happen, and when their back's against the wall, they figure out a way, and that's inevitably the difference between everyday people and really successful entrepreneurs. Is everyday people allow themselves to get way too comfortable, and really successful entrepreneurs, no matter how much they have in the bank. No matter how much they're doing already, they always find a way to put their back against the wall because that's when we perform the best. And so the idea is you want to put yourself in rooms with other people that are kind of in between that crazy successful guy and where you're at.
Yeah.
Right? I can look like, so because of Apex, I've got hundreds of, probably 400 to 500 of my Facebook friends are through Apex. And it's pretty easy to find them because I'll click on one of the friends and it'll say like, you have 478 friends in common with this person.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's Apex, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. You watch people come into Apex and I'm using Apex because that's what I have the most experience with. But you would watch people come into Apex and you would watch people leave Apex either at the same level they entered in or 10X above.
No middle ground.
Was Apex the reason for that? No. It was the individual. It was the individual that was willing to apply what they were learning, and the individual that was willing to get out of their comfort zone, and the individual that was willing to put their back against the wall and make shit happen. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that join groups like that. We've even had a couple in Tradewinds where they join the group
thinking that
they think the group is success.
Yeah.
Well, you still got to do the work. The group gives you all the information. The group tells you how. The group lays it out for you. You still have to have the tough conversation with your employee. You still have to put out the money to do the thing. You still have to make the tough decision in your business. You still have to do all the hard things. We just tell you which decisions to make.
Yeah.
And there are people that refuse to make those decisions, and then they leave the organization, whether it's Tradewinds or any of them. They leave the organization at the same level they entered in. And here's the number one thing with all those people. They never blame themselves.
They
always blame the organization.
I will say this. Is Tradewinds going on 2 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years
now. A year and a half.
I've never heard anyone have a bad thing to say.
Nope.
Even the ones that have been out short early.
Yep.
Like, they've always sent an email that says, hey.
Proof of concept, we've had a couple people leave and come back.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason why.
Had two last week.
Yeah. And the reason why is because they realize it's them. It's not the organization.
Yeah.
Right. We had one guy that we kind of booted. He kind of left. It was kind of a mutual thing. He won't ever come back. But it's because he's refusing to put in the work.
Yeah.
We had 3 months in a row where we gave him very specific instructions on what to do. And 3 months in a row, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And so.
And then we'd say at the beginning of the call, well, I'm just not seeing the growth. I'm not seeing the calls. Well, did you do this, this, and that? Well, no. Well, then what the fuck do you want, dude?
Right.
Like, stop wasting my time.
Right.
This is the same. What I didn't realize how similar. I shouldn't say similar. We are not as hard on the guys as Keith is on you.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Keith will literally tell you. I didn't know how I was going to feel about Keith. I think I really fucking like him.
Yeah.
Like, he will literally tell you to your face, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're fucking
this up. Why are you not doing it?
Yeah.
Like, we're not as hard on the guys as he is on you.
Right.
But maybe that day's coming.
Well, it's a thing you have to grow into.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Like, you can't take a guy who's never been a part of any success group, entrepreneurship group, mastermind, or anything, and then immediately light his ass on fire on the stake.
No, right? No.
Poor Nothing Dave like, Maben, that happened to him.
Poor Dave.
But he's coming out the other side stronger.
Yeah, he is.
You have to kind of work him into that, right? And I knew Keith before I signed up with him. I knew exactly what I was signing up for, and that's why I signed up with him, right?
This guy's going to kick me in the balls day one.
Ultimately, it comes down to making a very conscious, like, if you've never done anything notable, you don't need to call up Andy Elliott, right? You don't need Mr. Six Pack or You're Fired to whip your ass into shape. Start with a middle ground thing, right? Some of these coaching groups are $25,000 a year. It's fucking crazy.
It's a lot of money, man.
And that's a whole lot of money. What's crazy is a lot of these coaching groups, the biggest product they sell is their own fucking coaching group.
That's true.
and that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
If you have more revenue coming in from your coaching group than you do your main business, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And it makes it very difficult for you to be ethical to the people in your coaching group, because here you are trying to talk about how much of a badass you are. Well, it's the coaching group that made you a badass, not your main business.
Yeah.
Right. And so, that's a big problem, but that's what you get with a lot of like the Elliott Army and stuff like that. And I'm not bashing Andy Elliott. Like, I mean, he's definitely out there and he's getting crushed right now on a lot of platforms. Baller Busters is an account on Instagram. And all they do is just go bust ballers.
Oh, really?
Guys that are fake balling on Instagram and acting like they're crazy wealthy, but meanwhile they're caught up in lawsuits and fraud claims and everything else.
Read a book a day.
And I might need to follow this guy.
Ty Lopez.
Or that guy. Find out who's getting crushed.
Wes Watson gets crushed all the goddamn time.
I don't know who that is.
You ought to look him up. You'll hate him real fast.
Whatever happened to that guy?
That only hurts me if I hate someone else that I don't know.
A lot of people hate him.
No, but I know. I'm not saying it's not justified. I'm saying that only hurts me if I look it up and then like I'm mad at this guy.
Yeah.
Like, that only hurts me, man.
Yeah. Basically.
No, I'm not doing that.
Basically, Wes Watson, he spent a lot of time in prison. He's definitely got nutrition and physical fitness dialed in. But it's one of those things where it's like you can follow him or join him or join his group or pay his program or whatever. And like, that's all he's got to like, it's his group that buys him all the cars and the fancy dinners and the luxury lifestyle.
Like, is he like rich?
He's got like 10 cars, a couple of Bugattis, you know, stuff like that. But it's all financed by the people in his group. It's not financed by his main avenue. Oh,
gotcha.
Right? That would be like me trying to say, you know, join Tradewinds. I've never owned a plumbing company. I've never done a home service thing.
But I'll teach you how to do it.
Right.
Sign up.
Well, that's why you're the plumbing channel works, is because you did 20 years of plumbing before you started a YouTube channel. You get people that they'll do it for 2 weeks and be like, oh, here's how you do this.
Right, right. Now, the flip side of that is you can make some hilarious content by being a DIYer, because now you're going to be showcasing, oh, shit, I didn't expect that. I didn't know you had to turn the water off before you cut the pipe open.
Oh, you know what poop tastes like? Yeah, like that's just bad.
I think as long as you stay like, hey, I'm learning at this too. This is what I found out. Here's what I learned. Yeah, maybe you're making the same mistake I am.
Yeah, that's different though.
But also it doesn't cost anybody to watch a YouTube video, mm-hmm. right? It's different than if you're going to pay somebody $3,000 a month mm-hmm. to get your mindset right. And they like literally, what do? Well, they just charge people $3,000 a month to get their mindset right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Wes Watson, he's not teaching you how to invest in real estate. He's not teaching you how the stock market works, anything else. Like, he's teaching you fitness and nutrition and discipline, but that's it.
If you just want me to tell you not to eat fast food and tell you how to like work your core, so I'll take $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
Ty Lopez is probably one of those. I don't know what happened to him. He's the read a book a day guy. He has like a Lambo in his garage. He has like a bookshelf and Lambo in his garage. He's like, well, I'm Ty Lopez. He read a book a day, and that was his spiel, and you saw ads on him everywhere. And then he just...
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it happens all the time. And typically the guys that blew up overnight are not the guys you want coaching on. Typically the guys where you can't vet their backstory are not the guys that you want coaching on.
Yeah.
Or coaching from. There was just a guy in Miami. Was a young 20-something kid, posed in front of a multi-million-dollar house, and was like in his Lambo, and I live the luxurious lifestyle. Sign up for
he
my program.
He just leaned up against someone else's car in front of someone's house.
Yeah. It was like, and it wasn't even like a long-term lease. It was like a
one-monther,
like a short-term rental, like an Airbnb type of thing.
That's funny.
I'll show you how to be rich. Sign up today.
Right.
$29.95.
And it's just like that happens all the time. And so like on marketing, you'll see this on marketing a lot.
Oh man. We're already an hour and 15. You want to get into marketing?
Well,
we could do a whole nother show on it.
You get a lot of digital marketers douchebags. And a lot of SEO people that claim they can help you. But my first SEO guy, he's a great guy. Phenomenal guy. It admittedly said, I've never done localized SEO. It's always national, but I can do your SEO. And I didn't know any better. So I'm like, sure. And at the time, I didn't need like the best SEO company ever, right? And sure enough, we had struggle after struggle after struggle. The guy was honest. The guy was transparent, everything. I still like the guy. Still use him, for some other stuff. But it just didn't work, right? And now I vet the guys a little bit better, right? Well, yeah. I've changed up the guy who runs my ads for social media. And this newer guy, he does a lot with tree services. Has never done it with plumbing. And he and I were just having a conversation yesterday where he was like, plumbing's different. And I'm like, yeah, you want to know why? And he goes, you know why? And I'm like, yeah, I knew why when I hired you. But you're a great guy. I like what you do. And I'm willing to work with you on this. You have skills I don't, but I have knowledge you don't.
Yeah.
Right? I said, plumbing, people don't need plumbing for months and months and months before they call a plumber. They wake up one day and they don't have hot water and they have to call a plumber today.
It's not a day-to-day service.
Right. Tree service. Your tree needs pruned for days, weeks, months, or years.
And you're putting it off.
And you're putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And finally, you get it done. Right? And so it's totally different. The window of opportunity to land in front of a plumbing customer is a blink. It's a fraction. Whereas tree service, roofing, decks, windows, siding. Like, nobody just wakes up today and all of a sudden needs siding, unless it's a hailstorm, and then it's your insurance is covered.
And most of the time, electrical, HVAC, plumbing, they're almost the same in that aspect.
Yeah. And so, it changes the game a ton. And another thing that changes the game in plumbing is there's nothing that we do that you can't go buy at Home Depot, Lowe's, or Menards. And so that changes the game because now you bring in DIY into play, where you don't have that with HVAC, right? I can't go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and Menards and buy a capacitor or a TXV.
No.
Or a compressor.
You can get stuff to
refrigerant.
Yeah, you can. Well, so capacitors, you can order everything online except for things that have to do with the refrigeration system.
Yeah.
Any parts you can get.
Right.
You can go to Home Depot and add runs to your basement if you want and do all. The only thing you can't get is refrigerant related parts.
Yeah.
And you can even get circuit boards. We pay about three times online.
Yeah.
Than what you can get at the supply house.
And so that's why I'm saying, like, as your marketers, don't just trust any marketer to come through under the sun. Make sure that they've marketed for your service before, because you're going to need it. Right.
Especially if you haven't obtained the knowledge because you've been through three or four.
Yeah.
Like if it's your first one, make sure they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a little experience in your field.
Right. Right. Like I know what I'm getting into with this marketer. I like the way he operates. I like what he does, and I can help him through the plumbing side of things. I intentionally went with a guy who didn't do this industry because I want to learn the other industry benefits. Right. Like, if it works for tree guys, I can make it work for us. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
And so...
Or at least gain a few things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So...
I'll give you that one.
I didn't go into it with, like, blind hope and blind faith. I went into it with, you know, I knew what the struggles were going to be because I've kind of been down that road before.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when you're taking advice from somebody, you want a decent mix, but you want most of your advice coming from somebody who's a little farther down the path than you. And you want a little advice coming from the top, 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 right? It's okay to be inspired by the big wigs, right? Well, I still listen to Andy Frisella's podcast all the time.
Inspiration and knowledge that you can implement are two different things.
They are. They are.
Okay. So
I still listen to Andy Frisella's podcast all the time. There's a couple of others that I listen to as well. But I don't know if I would trust Andy Frisella to help me grow my plumbing company. You know, I can still trust Andy Frisella to help me keep my moral compass in the right direction. I can still trust Andy Frisella for, you know, now that a lot of his podcast has gone political and current events and stuff like that, I can still trust him for
knowledge base.
Well, for a good instead of the media's twisted portrayal of an event, I can still trust him for his opinion of the event, you
for
know,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Until he's bought out.
Well, that's kind of his thing is he doesn't get bought out.
Everyone has a price.
Yeah. He
we
still
hope not. We hope not.
He's five or 600 episodes in on his podcast, and
damn, is he that many?
And he does not. Yeah, he uploads like three a week.
Are you telling me we have to do more? How many? What
all
are we
over
on?
An hour long.
What are we on?
This
today?
Is 162.
162 for those of you at home keeping score.
Yeah.
Good God, it's a lot.
But he doesn't have any sponsors of his show. He doesn't have anything like that. He literally just uses the platform to help people make money and make right choices in America. That's literally all he does with it. And I mean, so he owns First Form, which is a supplement. Yeah. He has like seven or eight different businesses.
Yeah. Let's not pretend like it's,
he owns supplement superstores. So like, obviously his stores get a benefit from his podcast because that's the way people can support him for putting out all the information that they put out.
For creating the content that he does.
Yeah. And let's be honest, most people that are trying to live the best life they can are dedicating a certain portion of their life to their fitness. And so,
that's probably true.
You know, if they got to buy their fitness products from somewhere, they might as well buy it from him. I use all First Form stuff. That's my way of supporting him in what he does and my way of appreciating him for that. So, you know, we don't have anything to sell you other than a tradesman's membership, but other than that, like we don't have anything to.
Yeah, we've been putting this out for free for a long fucking time.
Yeah. So,
if you guys want to write me checks and mail them to my house, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be happy to take them.
That's gonna wrap it up for this show. Just remember that where you get your mentorship from matters and how well you're going to be able to apply it. So, keep following guys like us. Jared Williams is another great guy that's similar to us. I'm sure if you listen to this show, you probably listen to his. He and I have never met in person. We've never actually talked. We've exchanged a few messages back and forth. It's possible we may work together on a podcast or something in the future. He seems like a pretty good guy. So, but you know, guys like us, guys like Jared Williams, if you're a plumber, those are great outlets to listen to for people that are just a little bit farther down the road than you, but then aren't at the absolute king, top dog, top 1% of the industry. So, until next week, guys, we will see you later.